Quality News Network. White House spokesman Tony Snow said today that the full national intelligence estimate from April will not be released because it would jeopardize the lives of the agents who collected the information. About 3 pages of the 30-page report were made public yesterday. They concluded that Iraq has become a cause célèbre for jihadists who have increased in numbers and are now operating in a wider area. But it also stated that if the jihadists lose in Iraq, they will also lose their ability to recruit new members. On Capitol Hill, Republicans in the House and Senate have cleared the way for legislation on terrorism detainees. It gives President Bush the authority to detain, interrogate, and try them before military commissions. In Washington today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice told Sudan that it must either accept a UN force in Darfur or face a confrontation with the rest of the world. She added that if rebels who are fighting the government continue to refuse to sign onto the peace deal brokered in May, UN sanctions would be imposed. Meanwhile, a bill aimed at helping to end the bloodshed in Darfur is headed to the White House for President Bush's signature. Among other things, it would give the president the authority to support an expanded African Union mission in Sudan until a UN peacekeeping force arrives. At the White House this evening, President Bush will have dinner with Afghan President Hamid Karzai and Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf. For the past few months, Karzai and Musharraf have criticized each other's efforts to fight terrorism along their shared border. In Saudi Arabia, plans are underway to build a fence along its border with its part of a $12 billion security plan to protect the country from external threats and being dragged into the sectarian conflict. The plan also includes electronic sensors and security bases. In Israel today, officials released the Palestinian deputy prime minister, who had been jailed without charges since mid-August. That came after Israel's highest court ordered that he be let go. In Berlin, talks have concluded for the day between Iran's top nuclear negotiator and the European Union's policy chief. Though their contents have not been disclosed, they'll meet again tomorrow. The Republican Party has chosen Minneapolis-St. Paul as its location for 2008 presidential convention.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
In Ohio, a family of five has filed a $100,000 lawsuit against Natural Selection Foods, saying they were sickened after eating the company's fresh spinach. The New York City Health Department may ban artificial trans fatty acids. They're commonly found in shortening, margarine, and frying oil. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has signed a bill that limits the amount of emissions produced by utilities, refineries, and manufacturing plants. MySpace.com is starting a voter registration drive aimed at signing up younger voters. Univision shareholders have approved the proposed sale of the company to an investment group. Regulatory approval is still needed for the more than $12 billion deal. The Commerce Department reports that new home sales went up 4.1% last month. That's the largest increase in 5 months. The Commerce Department also reports that U.S. factory orders for big-ticket manufactured goods fell 0.5 percentage point in August. That's the second drop in a row. And the head of Nissan Renault met with GM CEO in Paris today. Companies are discussing a possible three-way alliance. Talks will continue until mid-October. Light sweet crude settling at $62.96 a barrel today. The Dow Jones neared but fell short of a record close. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow up 20 points at 11,689, and NASDAQ up 2. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. It is 6 minutes after the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It is your confrontation with the facts, just the facts, all Joe Friday-like, you know. And I'm tickled to death to have you on board. We've got a lot on the plate this evening. Of course, as everyone knows, this is Wednesday, and that means one thing in particular.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Darn tootin'. It's prayer meeting edition here on the Head On Radio Network, and I am Brother Bob. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense, and we travel this evening first. Yes, I know, there are a lot of rotten things going on in the world, but we travel this evening first to Texas, and not because of some self-important wide receiver who may or may not have taken too many pills. No, we're talking about something important here. We travel to Texas. Via the miracle of the internet, to talk about the real threat to America's freedoms, a real threat to the education of children. We're talking about a woman, a marvelous educator by the name of Sydney McGee. She's taught art at Fisher Elementary School in Frisco, Texas, for some 28 years. She's just lost her job. She lost her job because she took 89 of her art students to the Dallas Museum of Art sometime last April, and one child's parents complained because they saw a naked statue. That's right, naked. We all know the difference between naked and naked. Naked is the act of having no clothes on. Naked is having no clothes on and, by God, being up to something. But we are joined at this time on the telephone by Ms. McGee's lawyer, Roggie Dunn from Dallas. Roggie, are you there?
Yes, I am, Bob.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening and taking time away from your evening to do so. Am I correct in what I've said about Ms. McGee so far? 28 years of teaching experience, an exemplary teacher, a teacher noted for her, what do they call it in Texas? She's a star teacher?
Yes, you've got the facts correct.
And this happened last April?
Right, April, I believe, 26th, she took the students and was accompanied by, I think, three or four homeroom teachers as well as about a dozen parent chaperones, and they went to the museum. The very next day, which ironically was her birthday, at the end of the day, the principal called her into her office and said there had been complaints, and how could she allow the students to see or be exposed to nude statues and other nude art representations. And the teacher said, or excuse me, the principal said, you're going to be fired, and the board will be meeting Monday night to find a reason to fire you. And I will say that the power of the media or folks getting involved has helped her tremendously because a number of parents have stepped up to the plate and said, this is wrong, and they've contacted the school district. And over the weekend and on that Monday, they met in a closed-door session, of course, late Monday night, came out, and then they decided not to fire her but to keep her on administrative leave, which, of course, is a crazy decision because now you've got a teacher that loves to teach, that wants to teach, and they're taking taxpayers' money to pay her to sit on the sidelines. But that speaks volumes because they could have fired her under the contract for cause.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any cause. So they basically punted, and now she's going to get paid to do nothing for the rest of the school year.
But this is still causing her considerable anguish, isn't it?
Well, obviously, it's a black mark on her career that the district did not renew her contract. And she doesn't want to sit on the sidelines. So we're fighting to clear her name. And to answer your question directly, we're waiting to get in writing from the district that they're not going to renew her contract. And then she has rights of appeal. And we're also asking people, and if you'd let me, I'd love to give the district's fax number and the superintendent's email.
Oh, gosh, yes.
The fax number for the Frisco Independent School District is 469-633-6050.
Okay.
469-633-6050. And the superintendent's email is Reedy, that's R-E-E-D-Y-R, at friscoisd.org. Reedy R at Frisco, that's FRISCOISD.org.
I was going to ask if we could do that. I don't want to make your life or your job any tougher, but I think people have to stand up for this kind of thing. I'm here in West Virginia, and we have to beg, borrow, and steal to get arts education for our kids. And we all know what art, music, theater, drama, literature, we know what that does for a developing child's mind. It's about hardwiring the brain. I'll warrant you probably had some of that coming up as a child yourself.
Absolutely. And one of the things that Sydney said, which I think speaks volumes about how she cares, she says one of the things that reasons she likes to teach art, and by the way, she started out as a graphic artist, so she could make a lot more money doing many different things and not have to put up with this bureaucratic mess. But she said one of the reasons I love teaching art is that you can give self-esteem to every child because, she said, they just need to realize there's an artist in each and every one of us. And so they can, no matter what they draw or what they paint or what they do with paper mache, they can be proud of it because art is obviously in the eye of the beholder. And so she loves doing that. If you were to go in her classroom and see how she painted the ceilings and how much love and care and thought goes into what she does, and it's just a travesty to allow a principal to overreact because of a couple of parents' complaints and say, well, this was wrong and you shouldn't have exposed them to news, it's just beyond me.
This might be an inappropriate question. I hope it's not. Here in West Virginia, we got a lot of hardcore fundamentalists. In Texas, I imagine you have something along the same lines. Is this that sort of thing at work, do you think?
Well, I can't imagine. Frisco is a suburb of Dallas and fairly affluent, and it's new. I mean, it was just all farmland before. I can't imagine that there's a groundswell of parents complaining about this. In fact, the opposite is true. Most of the parents have support her. Having said that, this morning on a radio show, somebody called in and said, I think it was right to fire her, that kids seeing this type of thing leads to pornography and them becoming derelicts. And the radio person said, well, you know, what about if you sign the release? You know, all these people had signed releases. And he said, well, I don't know what's in the Museum of Art. So you are correct. There are some folks out there that think she should be fired.
Well, now, is there, as I mentioned in the run-up to all this, Roggie, she has been cited for her exemplary teaching. Have they gone to any sorts of subterfuge and saying, well, you know, she parked in the principal's space, or you know, she looked at the superintendent cross-eyed? Have they gone to any of that yet?
Well, you raise an excellent point, and they have done that. Basically, after this happened, then they gave her a write-up, and they put in the, specifically in the write-up, taking her to the museum and exposing them to these nudes. And then, of course, they put together a laundry list. My favorite is they wrote her up for wearing flip-flops, and the flip-flops were $20 leather open-toe shoes that she bought at Nordstrom's on sale. And the principal had a pair, very similar pair, except the strap went in a different place. So as you know, anytime somebody wants to get rid of you, and this is, I see this in employment law cases all the time, is that the employer will try to run the person off. That solves a problem. If we give them the silent treatment, some other retaliation they did is they put her on daycare duty, which at the end of the day used to be a paraprofessional would watch the kids go off to the buses to go to daycare. At the end of the school day, they had her do it, and it was all the way across the building. She had a bladder transplant, 3 or 4 years ago operation, and they first said, "Well, you can't have your bathroom breaks before you go to that."
Oh my
God! She fought back, and then they finally gave her bathroom breaks like 3 days a week. So yes, all that kind of retaliation. And to her credit, she did not knuckle under. She did not give up. And then when she went to the media, of course, I guess that was the kiss of death because, lo and behold, that the school district would want this to see the light of day.
Does she have some union support or union help in the form of a state education association or anything, Roggy?
Yes, and one of the things that they did initially was put her on a performance improvement plan, and the Texas State Teachers Association came forward and got that thrown out. And I'm happy to say that they talked to them, the general counsel today, and they're going to jump on the team and help as well. And ironically, you know, when you talked about her qualifications, she was president of the Texas State Teacher Associations for 3 years. So she's not just respected by the students and the parents, but also other educators as well.
Well, that sort of shines a little light on things, too. The administration probably hates her for that reason, if no other.
Might be.
Well, I certainly hope you will convey our warmest regards to her, Roggy. My sister is an art teacher, and is going to have an absolute purple polka dotted hissy when I send her this story. So we can fax and we can email. Is there anything that you would like particularly for folks to share in that email? Just general support. Or
say let their conscience be their guide and let them hear what your listeners think. I think you have a very educated group of listeners, and you've correctly pointed out the issues tonight. And I will say I am heartened by the fact that it seems that the groundswell of support in Sydney's favor is making an impact on the Frisco district. And the more people that can weigh in on this, I mean, not that often in your life do you have an opportunity to make a change or a difference. And this is one where if people get involved, they can make a difference.
I think you're absolutely right. And I would imagine that you probably feel a little bit that way in terms of your law practice, don't you?
Well, let me say this. I've been practicing law for 22 years, and I represent both employers and executives and employees. And I've never seen anything like this that has made me so incensed. And I'm working on a pro bono basis because I feel so strongly. And Sydney couldn't afford to hire a lawyer. So, you know, we've got to all stand up and do what we can.
Well, I certainly applaud you for doing it pro bono, for doing it at all, for standing up to the powers that be. But, you know, most importantly, Roggy, I applaud you because this you're standing up for Sydney, but indirectly and perhaps quite more importantly, you're standing up for those kids. They have a right to have a good teacher.
Well, you raised one heck of a good point there, and sometimes the kids get lost in the fight or the shuffle here, but you have kids that had a teacher yanked away from them, and somebody, one of the parents called in on a radio show today, and they said, I just wanted to tell you, Sydney, how grateful we are. My child still talks about you. You were one of her favorite teachers. And somebody said, well, did your child talk about the art? She said, yeah, she did, but it was no big deal. And then Sydney even knew the kid's last name and knew what school she was in this year and asked about her. And so this is a person that truly loves what she does, and she's been doing it for 28 years, and now it's been taken away from her because of a bureaucrat that wants to wield power instead of worrying about the kids.
I guess the last question, Roggy, would be, assuming she prevails, and I cannot imagine that she will not, can she go back into that school environment and teach and do a meaningful job as an educator, knowing the level of hostility that has gone down there? I mean, this is evil stuff as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that would be the challenge. I think Sydney's up to that type of challenge. But first and foremost, she wants to get her name and reputation back because the way this has gone down, she will have a very tough time getting another job. And as she said, there's a lot of tread left on our tires, and she wants to teach somewhere, even if it can't be Frisco.
Will, at some point in time, do you think you'll be able to identify the offending art?
Well, you know, the problem is they didn't tell us. They still haven't told us, other than the exact quote was, students were exposed to nude statues and other nude art representations. And then time was not wisely used for learning during the trip. So,
holy cow.
You know, more specifics, and I said, that's all we're going to give you. I don't know what you do, but I think that speaks volumes about the lack of merits of the complaint.
Well, if you do find out, please get in touch with us. Let us know, because I'd love to post the offending art on our website and let.
But it might offend your listeners if you were to do that.
I'm watching. Yeah, Roggy, I'm watching the chat room going down here live, and I'm thinking not. I got one guy in here who said, you know, it took Michelangelo 20 years to do the Sistine Ceiling. If he'd used a roller, it would have taken 2 weeks. I got a feeling that the principal's probably along that mindset. Roggy Dunn, thank you so much, and thank you for what you're doing for Sidney McGee and for those children.
You're most welcome. Enjoy your show.
Thank you. Have a great evening. Bye now. Roggy Dunn, attorney and counselor at law for Sidney McGee. 28-year veteran art teacher in Frisco, Texas. Okay, first of all, we'll deal with the issues as the issues stand, but I don't want to, I don't want to hear any more generalizations about rotten lawyers, okay? Did you hear that? He's doing it pro bono. That's Latin lawyer talk for free. And he's doing it for all the right reasons. I can't imagine what I would do, because I know how my children cherish our children. Sorry, Agnes, I did it again.
That's okay.
I know how our children cherish their art programs. I know how their hearts have been broken when their art programs have been canceled. You know, because standardized testing is so damned expensive and so forth. Or maybe because the basketball team needs some new chalk straps or something up at the high school. I mean, that's the kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul that this broken nation has come to now. You go back, oh, what did the psalmist say? Create in me, O Lord, a clean mind and a clean body. I believe in athletics. I believe in physical education. I believe in, I don't believe, I hate that damn word. I know that athletics is beneficial to young people. I know that rigorous academic instruction in basic subjects is critical to young minds. But I also know, the difference that feeding the eye and feeding the mind through visual art, auditory art, through speech, debate, theater, music, I know what a profound, profound impact that has on a child. Now, if you want to get active, if you want to be an activist, it doesn't cost you anything. Reedy R, R-E-E-D-Y-R, Reedy R at Frisco, F-R-I-S-C-O, Frisco I-S-D .org. Reedy R at Frisco I-S-D .org. That is that's the place you'll go. That's the email address you'll use to voice support for Sidney McGee. Celebrated, honored, expert instructor, former head of the Texas State Teachers Association. And see, I can't help but think that that's got, this is so cheesy. This is the same kind of workplace retaliation you get. And if you go and look up Wilma Fisher Elementary School in Frisco, Texas, you can even see a picture of the principal. You know, the principal that had the same kind of sandals on that Sidney had on when they wrote her up for wearing sandals. I could scream about this, and I'm. Come on, it's Wednesday. You and I both know who objected to their children seeing nudity. the same people who think nudity is dirty. I know, it's a nude rock. Or a nude bronze. Not for long, gotta cover up them satanic parts. Right after we're born. But, oh God, you know it's the fundies. And, you know, as Roggy Dunn noted, this is a fairly new community. It's upscale. And there were teeny tiny little bits of complaints. One or two, three, maybe four. And who did they come from? What kind of a vocal minority exists in our culture? What kind of a vocal minority exists that complains, NBC's going to broadcast Madonna and she's going to crucify herself on television? Who does that? Who does things like Ford selling cars to Homer sectionals and therefore we must get rid of Ford? Who does that? Do the liberals do that? Do the progressives do that? No, they don't. Nope. Sunshine, that's the fundamentalists. That's the people that believe that Adam and Eve rode to church Sunday school every Sunday morning on the back of a dinosaur. That's them. Okay? Yeah, you know that. I know that. Look, let's take a break. We'll come back, do some phone calls. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. This is the Head On Radio Network, where we're not afraid of nakedness. Because it's radio. Agnes, let's get naked on the radio right now. And I'm Bob Kincaid. We gotta free our great boys. Next on a plane. I don't care. Fuck the cheap champagne. We're going down in flames. Hey, I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it. I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it. I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it. I'm ready for it. Come on, sir, get me out of here. Oh, you're gonna make me alive. So kiss me goodbye. I can see the metal in your eyes. Goodbye.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I, thank you.
Sing with. Crash test dummies. Has that guy got a set of pipes or what? That's right. It is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's prayer meeting night, and we're being kind of pagan about it tonight because the break was a little squirrely there and had some dead air. We was getting naked. We was naked. All just naked up because it's radio, you know. And the FCC had the, boy, if only the American Family Association could find out that we're doing naked pagan radio. Can you imagine? Oh, Lordy, they'd probably be picketing out front. The Reverend Wildman and all his buddies? Sure, you bet. Let's don't laugh at your own jokes, Bob. No, laugh at Agnes, who is red. Oh, I want the webcam. She is red.
Here we go. It's
David. We've got these little red mute lights on the mixing board. She is as red as the little red mute light. See, I can't even talk. David, calling from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob. Speaking of naked,
you're almost smiling. I can hear it.
Yeah. Speaking of naked, that would be this administration too, because Hollow Man has returned, the fourth-rate Invisible Man. Movie, Mr. Kevin Bacon, Tony Snow.
Oh, I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, such a lame movie.
Such a lame press secretary.
Yeah, such as the comparison is. So when he's talking about today, he really really stumbled all over the place. I don't know if you had a chance to read it, and a lot of the people took him on, and I can go over some basics.
Yeah, I saw some of the highlight. I mean, I read some of it. I didn't find the audio. I got the sense that the audio must have been really good.
I get the sense, too. And it doesn't make sense because the more and more he explains it, the more and more it doesn't make sense. And I think he thinks that the more words that he says and the more prose he says, he's spinning it. And there's nothing to spin, really. Because
have you ever had a raw oyster, David?
No, I can't say.
Okay, well, there's a rule about raw oysters. Now, I love raw oysters, and there's a rule about them. The more you chew, the bigger they get. That's where Tony Snow is living right now.
I mean, right off the bat, the first question, it says, can you address the comments of the House Minority Leader and Representative Harmon saying that there is a second Iraq estimate out there that is in draft form that is being held until after the November elections? And Snow answers, they're just flat wrong. What happened is about a month ago, Director Negroponte informed the committees that he was in fact going to do an exhaustive review on Iraq. That's a month ago. These reviews take a year to do. So the idea that it is in draft form, they're just beginning to do their work on it. And intelligence committee members, if they don't know it, should. But there is not a waiting Iraq document that reflects the national intelligence estimate that's sitting around gathering dust waiting until after the election. Notice he said there's not a national intelligence, there's not an Iraq document. It's a draft.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he really doesn't realize what people, I know he knows what people ask him, but he says, well, I'll just pretend that you didn't say draft, I'll just say document.
Well, they've forgotten the rules that they taught us, David. You know, it was 2 solid years of, well, you know, we've got to persecute Bill Clinton because words mean things. By God, I heard that and I'm hanging on to it for dear life. Words mean things, and it would appear that Mr. Snow has forgotten.
And then Jennifer comes in, and she says, I want to ask some profound questions. And Snow says, please. And she says, why does the president continue to say that we're winning the war on terror and we are more safe when the overall picture painted by these key judgments is actually quite bleak and points to several areas where that is not a conclusion you could reach by reading it? Now, this is Tony's answer. He says, I'm not sure I agree. For instance, I know it's been characterized as being bleak. What it is it's a snapshot. It's February 28th of what was going on in the region. That's the argument that he makes. This whole thing, the whole estimate was just a snapshot of that day, and it was just that day. You don't know what it's like today. It was just that day, February 28th. It's the snapshot. It's the Kodak moment. That's the Polaroid, and it was just that day, and it was just reflective of it. And that's all we have to take into consideration.
I was out and about a little bit today, and of course, as I've said before, David, my only choices when being out and about and listening to the radio, if I don't want to hear One of These Nights by the Eagles for the, you know, Google Plus 72.3rd
right.
time,
right.
is to listen to talk radio. Well, then there's the mainstream country station, and that's just like putting a screw through my head.
Right.
I can't stand focus grouped music. I'm listening, and I heard a little bit of Flush, and it was the same thing you're describing, David. You know, because he was taking one thing and just saying it was another. I mean, that's how they do the business. Because he said, my friends, obviously the Democrats and the New York Times, the drive-by media, got themselves all in a lather thinking that this national intelligence estimate was going to tell us we are less safe now than we were before the Iraq War. Well, it's simply not true. Huh? You know, I mean, and the thing is, I'm not a ditto head, David. You're not either. We've read the damn thing.
Right. I think part of the, and then what he does is they're going into Bin Laden, and notice the date. They're going to 1998. They're not going to 2001 anymore, because if they go to 2001, that's when the president was, the administration was in, so they got to go back to February 1998 when Osama issued a fatwa against the United States. And basically, if you listen to the run up all this week, they're talking about 1998. Why didn't the president do anything in 1998? Like, I thought we have to live in the present. What happened to that?
It's apparently illegal, David, to ask. I mean, we can ask all we want about Bill Clinton. You know, for that matter, we can ask why Lyndon Baines Johnson didn't do something about Al-Qaeda. But we absolutely are forbidden. I mean, the dates don't exist on the calendar anymore. There's the day George Bush gets inaugurated, and then there's September 11th. And I mean, it's like null space. It's something it would take a physicist to figure out that's in between the inauguration day and September 11th.
And one of the things he says is, now does it mean that we put on rose-colored glasses and say there's no threat? Of course not, but it's a different kind of threat now. Ah, it's a chameleon now. It changes colors when it fits when it's,
well,
it's
it is
their
a
policy.
Different, it is a different kind of threat now, because
yeah.
back before the Iraq War started, there were X numbers. We'll play some higher math here, even though I'm not competent to do so. There were X numbers of people who wanted to kill us. Now that George Bush has started the Iraq War, David, it is X cubed.
And I'm telling you, but they did not let up on this. And then it goes into it. Another reporter asks a couple things. You said, first of all, that Al-Qaeda has been degraded. Actually, the reports that Al-Qaeda's leadership has been degraded, but that its ranks have increased. You also just, and then Tony interrupts, but operational, okay? And he says, let me just finish and go through it here. You also said that you're talking about things the administration has done, and yet the intelligence estimate is taking this into account and coming up with a conclusion that the factors fueling this growth of the movement, they report, outweigh the vulnerability of the movement and will do so for some time. That's not, we're safer. No, no, it talks about jihadism. And then the reporter says, it's also not, we're winning. Well, it doesn't draw judgments like that. You've read the National Intelligence Estimate. I'm practically quoting verbatim from the report. I could read it. And Snow says, I know, but look, for we're not winning. Please show me. Now it's a gotcha game. The president has said, we're not winning. It is.
I know. No, you're good. You're good, David. You're good.
And then he says, the president has said, we're not winning. We're winning. And then Snow says, the president says we're winning, but she says, but she said it says, but the president, now it's like who's on first, who's on second. I understand that. I'm explaining it, and I've explained why. So let's just read the sentence again. I mean, how can you translate that, we're winning? I just want to hear you make that argument. Then this is Snow's answer. Okay, let's go back to what you just said. For instance, one of the things that you mentioned is that it's degraded the leadership. Here's what it says. The loss of key leaders, particular bin Laden, Zawahiri, and Zarqawi, in rapid succession probably would cause the group to fracture. We know that at least one, if not two of those, are still alive. But it says the loss of those leaders would exasperate strains and disagreements. We assess the resulting splinter groups, at least for a time, pose a less serious threat to U.S. interests than does Al-Qaeda. When it comes to degradation, when you talk about degrading the leadership of Al-Qaeda, you have degraded the operational capability. Once again, you don't have training camps. You do not have the ability to train them to carry off operations like you do before.
And see, that's so much hooey, David, because
I know.
The way you say that is you don't have training camps that we know of,
right,
that we can
right.
find.
He doesn't say that, but he says you don't have training camps. But, like, that's the assessment that everyone in the world, that everyone in the administration has. Nope, they don't have training camps. They couldn't be hidden. So there's no way that they don't have any training camps. And the thing that's interesting about it is that he continues on and on and on, and then these reporters don't let up, thank God. And he says, well, again, the report says factors fueling the movement outweigh the vulnerabilities. It says they're not, and then Tony tries to interrupt, yes, but, and then the report
this whole
says,
thing has turned into a Monty Python sketch, David.
Right, yeah. Right. It's the
argument clinic or whatever, where the guy goes in and says, you know, he pays for an argument, And finally, you know, they're supposed to be, you know, and he says, you're just gainsaying everything I say. And no, I'm not. Yes, you are. I mean, that's where it is now.
And then he says that the movement has grown and it's harder to find and harder to prevent attacks. And then Snow answers, I believe what it says. You've gotten it about right. Now he's complimenting the reporter like he always does when he's trapped. And then he says, and they've trained new leaders who are being battle tested in Iraq. And then Snow has to say, no, it says, let's run through it because these are all good questions. First, it says, let's see what you're talking about. I'm sorry, where are we here? Rephrase the one that you're going after here. Let's see. The vulnerabilities questions, right. We can go back over. I can read you verbatim. Mr. Snow, all right, here we go. Yes, thank you. But we're also talking about harder. You know, the confluence of shared purpose and dispersed actors will make it harder to find and undermine jihadist groups. And then Snow says, right, which is precisely why the president said, if you look at back what the president has been saying, he says it's numerous and more dispersed. We're not disagreeing with that. I'm not trying to pick a fight with it. What I'm trying to tell you is there's a difference between an Al-Qaeda that has training camps, that has the operational ability. What this is talking about is the ability to get people to say, I'm a jihadist, and be angry to identify themselves as a part of a movement. It's not the same. Tony, he says we're winning the war on terrorism. That's what he says. I know. He knows, but yet he doesn't know. And there are more of them. They're more dispersed. They're hard to find.
You know, I want the popcorn and Alka-Seltzer concession outside the White House press room. I mean, I'm not being flip about this. There's no credibility left in that building, David. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Nada. Niente.
And yet they find the reason that they have to argue with him, and then when he says something, they take him and they say, oh, I see what you're saying.
They want to keep getting invited to the dinners.
Right.
The White House apparently buys some pretty good booze. At some point in time, and I'm not at all taken up for the crackhead White House press corps, but at some point you realize that you're running your head up against a brick wall.
I like what one guy, let me try to find it here. One guy said, at the end, he summarized Tony's whole manifesto. And let me see if I can find it. Where is it right now? He says it. And he sums it up in a paragraph of what he's been saying. Okay, where is it?
Well, I tell you what. Just hang on to that for later, David. I've got a bunch of people stacked up behind you. I need roll on. But no, thanks for all of that. I do appreciate it. And you know, thanks for pointing out what a daggum circus act it's just all turning into.
No problem. And I'll come back with that summary that I think people should hear, because it sums up basically the whole press conference in one little paragraph this reporter does. And I just want people to look at that. I'll call back later.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Put
the phone on the charger.
All right, I will.
All right, see you, David. Bye now. And onward to our good buddy Jim. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Well, good evening. When I came in and come to the speakers, I heard you say something about let's get naked, and I said, my God, is this radio in the buff?
Yeah, it's naked radio tonight. We're in support of the teacher in Texas who was canned more or less for taking her students to the Dallas Museum of Art where they saw naked statues.
Well, listen, I've got my webcam. I'll move over a little more to the right, will you?
Okay. You got that now?
No, yeah. You're in good focus. One thing about
good it, God, don't get me in focus.
That's what I mean. My God, let me get my calipers. But anyway,
Jesus.
About Al-Qaeda, if they're so degraded, you know, you go to any website, and I've seen them. I've actually seen beheadings.
Yeah.
On the internet. And, you know, these people are going through cyberspace like crap to a goose.
Well, but, Jim, that's the thing. The people doing the beheadings, the administration can talk all it wants to about how that's Al-Qaeda in Iraq as though it's some sort. You know, we've got to put everything onto our own paradigm. You know, this is a wholly owned subsidiary of Al-Qaeda worldwide. Al-Qaeda Iraq working for you. That's not how it is. The people doing the beheadings... Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, that guy was operating well before the war started, if you recall.
Long time.
Yeah, if you recall, it was exposed that we had, you want to yell at Clinton for not getting bin Laden. The fact of the matter is, in terms of the U.S. military, Zarqawi killed a lot more than bin Laden did, and we had a chance to kill him going into the war, but a conscious decision. This isn't about shooting a missile and missing a tent. This is a conscious decision that was made by the highest levels of our government not to kill Zarqawi, because they thought it would, they made a calculated judgment that would take away from the panache or the need for waging this war.
Well,
they had him in the crosshairs.
Well, obviously someone made the wrong judgment there.
Well, sure they did.
But listen, this is your prayer meeting night, correct?
Absolutely.
And since you are doing radio on the buff, I have a story to tell in honor of that, if I may tell it quickly.
Okay, sure.
A church had a come as your favorite hymn party.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a minister's function to guess who was wearing which hymn as their costume.
Yes, this would be H-Y-M-N.
Exactly. Thank you. And so he went to Brother Sister Olga, who had lights around her waist, light bulbs strung on the thing. And he said, how clever. Could this be let the lower lights be burning? And she said, yes. And then he went to Sister Marie, who was absolutely in the buff. And he said, well, how clever. Could this be just as I am? And then he went to Brother John, who had a sheep thing of wheat tied around his waist. He said, Brother John, this must be cut bringing in the sheaves. To which he replied, yeah, but if that woman don't put on her clothes over there, it's going to be coming through the rye.
Ba-dum-bum. And you'll be here all week, and don't forget to try the veal.
Well, in honor of your whatever. But like I say, you know, Al-Qaeda has just grown by leaps and bounds, and it's just like a hydra.
Every time you cut one
head off, seven or more sprout in its place.
And you're right. And the thing is, it may not even be Al-Qaeda anymore. You don't have to get the the certificate suitable for framing anymore,
no.
Jim, to hate Americans.
No, you don't.
All you have to have been was sitting in your house minding your own business on the night that shock and awe started, and we sent a bunch of Tomahawk cruise missiles into a neighborhood where Saddam wasn't.
Well, that's exactly right. Okay, well, listen, you've got people behind me. I'll let you go.
All right, take care, Jim. Later. And let's see, onward to Sarge in Mississippi. Hey, Sarge, welcome aboard.
Hey, Brother Bob, I've got a confession I need to make tonight.
Oh, dear God, I don't know if I'm up to it.
This is sad, but
okay.
All three of my dogs here are naked tonight.
Naked dogs? Oh, my. That reminds me, I got to tell you and everybody else, I got a website for you. GetBehindJesus.net. GetBehindJesus.net. Now you got to go there, Sarge. I mean, you were talking about naked dogs. This is that very thing. It's like almost a setup for it. But do something about them naked dogs. Next thing you know, you'll be calling back to tell me you had to throw ice cold water on them.
Well, and I even heard who knew has one of her dogs that even rolls over on its back.
Dirty, 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 God, dirty. What would the American Family Association say, Sarge?
I don't know. I'm just so disgusted. This sinful nation. Of course, now, if you want to get into some really nice stuff, there's a site. I can't give you the address, but your wife or Elo can post it, where you can hear some of the really horrible news, like what's going on in Afghanistan. There was 14 pregnant women murdered by American troops in Afghanistan. Just recently.
Oh, charming.
It tells all about it, and I got it right from an Afghan site, and one of them can post it and let people see it. And there's all kinds of horror stories on that write-up, and I just hope everybody will get to see it so we can see just exactly what in the world these morons are worried about, some dadgum piece of stone,
yeah,
in the form of a human penis is such a bad thing when we got pregnant women
getting
being
blown
murdered
away. Yeah, sure.
In our name.
But wait, you know, you bring up a good point, Sarge. Let's take it to its next logical step. Dig it. The parents that complained about the naked statues at the Dallas Museum of Art, those parents would probably gladly let their youngins sit down, turn on the TV, and watch Arnold Schwarzenegger blow away three dozen people.
Yeah, it's just these people are sick. Of course, now then again, you stop and you listen to this moron, this godforsaken
freak
Dobson.
Yeah,
and he says,
freak.
"Take your son into the bathtub and let him see your penis, so he'll know who the man is."
Yeah, God.
And then they want to gripe about the child seeing a statue.
Yeah, I know, bronze, maybe even wire. Might have been abstract. Probably couldn't. Yeah, but it was naked abstract. Roggy Dunn, when we were talking to him, he said the guy that called into the radio station this morning said, "I think they were right to fire that woman." Well, I've never been to the Dallas Museum of Art, and I don't know what they got in the way of art in there, but I think there's, you know, ignorance. It reminds me so much of what went on back during the Reagan administration, when the right wing really started to feel its oats and compile its book burning lists. Sarge, they among the books that they wanted to burn was one called Making It in the Kitchen with Mary. They saw that title and they just knowed it was dirty. Making It in the Kitchen with Mary. It was a cookbook, Sarge.
I can figure that. But, hey, you know, these people, if they would spend more time watching what's going on in our name, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, in the New Orleans, in the Louisiana coast, and our students being, I'm sorry.
I know.
It's just outrageous. I mean, good God Almighty, what's wrong with these people? If this is the way religion is, then, you know, maybe we need to have a purge of religion. Maybe there really should be a war on Christians, these phony Christians, you know? Maybe that's where the war really ought to be.
They think they're getting persecuted. There's days I really want to persecute them. But,
you and me both. And I was at one time a Southern Baptist ministerial student.
Oh, mercy. Well,
but I couldn't handle all that well, so I decided just to be a poor man.
Yeah, I was preordained myself. I understand. You know, I'm looking at the we got a roll here in a minute, but I'm looking at the CNN homepage. Now, we know what went down in the House of Representatives today. Let's talk about the... I mean, you talk about the priorities of this nation and people not paying attention to what matters. This is what's leading on the CNN.com homepage right now. School siege over, hostage injured. Terrell Owens denies suicide bid.
Oh, God.
Saudis plan fence to block Iraq's terrorists. Squabbling anti-terror allies meeting Bush. Testosterone overload kills brain cells. Teen sentenced for killing TV lawyer's wife. Brother gets three-year-old sister drunk, police say. Goose exercises flying next to Harley biker. Dig it. The House of Representatives legalizing torture by Americans at large does not even rank above goose exercises flying next to Harley biker.
Well, you're on the wrong side anyway. You need to go to powersandmorrison.com and get some real news.
That's the truth. Well, you know, that's the thing. That's where I go for real news. I go to powersandmorrison.com. I go to WD40.com. I go to places where I know that people are actually out there looking for real news. You know, what the hell use is CNN anymore with goose exercises flying next to Harley biker? Wait, but torture didn't even rate underneath that. The next one after that is school spends $2,300 on poodle to calm kids.
Well, Bob, I'm going to get off the line because I know you got a news break.
Yeah, we're both going to have an aneurysm.
Hey, I hear you. Talk to you later, Bob.
All right, take care, Sarge. Our good buddy Sarge in Mississippi. It is 1 minute before the hour. It's time for us to go to the news. When we come back, jump right in. Plenty of, yeah, I got a couple of lines open. 877-443-2366. You know what this is? This is America's liberal voice. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Quality News Network. The gunman who took six people hostage at a Colorado high school today has reportedly died. Four of the hostages have been released. The condition of the two young girls who are still being held is not yet known. President Bush will have dinner with Afghan President Hamid Karzai and Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf at the White House this evening. For the past few months, Karzai and Musharraf have criticized each other's efforts to fight terrorism along their shared border. At the White House today, spokesman Tony Snow said the full national intelligence estimate from April will not be released because it would jeopardize the lives of the agents who collected the information. President Bush declassified three of the 30 pages yesterday. On Capitol Hill, the Senate is expected to vote today or Thursday on an additional $70 billion to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The House passed the bill last night. If it passes the Senate as expected, it will then go to President Bush for his signature. Also on Capitol Hill, Republicans in the House and Senate have cleared the way for legislation on terrorism detainees. It gives President Bush the authority to detain, interrogate, and try them before military commissions. In Washington today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice told Sudan that it must either accept a UN force in Darfur or face a confrontation with the rest of the world. She added that if rebels who are fighting the government continue to refuse to sign on to the peace deal brokered in May, UN sanctions will be imposed. In Baghdad, a U.S. military commander says that insurgent attacks have increased in the past 2 weeks. This is the Islamic month of Ramadan. He says there were more suicide attacks this week than ever before. Today, at least 10 people were killed, another 11 wounded, in a shootout near a Sunni mosque in northern Baghdad. In Saudi Arabia, plans are underway to build a fence along its border with Iraq. It's part of a $12 billion security plan to protect the country from external threats and being dragged into the sectarian conflict. The plan includes electronic sensors and security bases. The Republican Party has chosen Minneapolis-St. Paul as the location for its 2008 presidential convention, and that's slated for September 1st through the 4th. You're listening to Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has signed a bill that limits the amount of emissions produced by utilities, refineries, and manufacturing plants. It's the first of its kind legislation to cap greenhouse gas emissions in the nation. In November, Intel will unveil the Core 2 Extreme chip, which will have four computing engines. Its release is aimed at winning back market share from rival AMD. The popular online site MySpace.com starting a voter registration drive aimed at signing up younger voters. Univision shareholders have approved the proposed sale of the company to an investment group. Regulatory approval is still needed. The Commerce Department reports that new home sales went up 4.1% last month. However, home prices fell 1.3% from this time last year. The American Bankers Association reports that the percentage of late credit card payments went up 4.41% in the second quarter. The group blames high energy prices and interest rate hikes. 7-Eleven is dropping Citgo, the Venezuelan-backed gas supplier. It's launching its own brand of fuel to sell at 2,100 of its 5,300 U.S. stores. The Dow Jones neared but fell short of a record close today at the close of Wall Street. The Dow up 20 points at 11,689. NASDAQ up 2. The S&P 500 was flat. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Five and a half minutes after the hour, I'm Bob. And I do have the yays and nays of how people voted on the Let America Torture bill in the United States House of Representatives. And, yeah, there's some disappointments in there. People in my hometown in Alabama will be disappointed to know, or at least decent people will, that their congressman, a Democrat, Bud Kramer, voted in favor of torture. People in Ohio, in his district, and perhaps liberals thinking, well, let's just say it, Sherrod Brown voted in favor of torture. Now, Sherrod Brown is a good pro-working class member of the House of Representatives. I think he will be 10 times a better senator than Mike DeWine. But this is where the learning curve begins. If you live in Sherrod Brown's district, maybe you want to send him a note and say, listen, I understand you did this because you're running for election this year, but this crap stops after you're elected. You won't get a pass after this. We'll give you a pass on this today, but not anymore. A pass on torture? What in the hell am I talking about? I am proud to say that my congressman, Nick Joe Rahal, voted against torture, as did 1st Congressional District Congressman Alan Mollahan. Unfortunately, the people in the 2nd District of West Virginia continue to suffer under the hobnailed boot of Shelley Moore Capito. She voted for torture. Oh, yeah, I mean, the numbers are legion. 219 Republicans voted for torture. More distressingly, 34 Democrats voted for torture. 7 Republicans voted against torture. 160 Democrats voted against torture. Dennis Kucinich was one of those. Nick Rahal, Alan Mollahan. I don't know what the reason is, and I guess, you know, it certainly wouldn't have made a mathematical difference, but Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas, someone I admire, did not vote, nor did another member of Congress for whom I have great admiration, and that is John Lewis of Georgia, did not vote. Don't know why. Not going to speculate. But it's their, you can look it up at Thomas. You know how to do that. Let's go to the phones. We are joined by our good friend Luke calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Evening, Bob.
How are you?
Just for curiosity, if you've got that sitting there in front of you, who were the 7 Republicans?
Let me see. That might take a little bit of work, but I can.
Okay.
No. That's okay. The 7 Republicans who voted no, all I have to do is find what's not in italics. Let's see, Bartlett of Maryland was one of them. Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Ron Paul, you know. Let's see, Bernie Sanders, of course, is an independent. He voted against it. Lauderette and Leach. Trying to see if there's any, if I can see anything more here Gilchrist, and I think I probably missed one somewhere along the way, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm just curious with that small a number. Like I say, you always expect Ron Paul. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Ron. Well, Ron, I don't.
I mean, not always, but you know what I mean. He'd be one of the ones I'd suspect if somebody voted against something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and he does his own thing.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, I disagree with what he does. But
being independent, you know what
yeah.
I mean. But.
Well, at one point he was in there as the only libertarian in Congress or something,
yeah.
And he switched parties in order to remain in place. That's what I always understood.
Well, okay, I've sent you a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
How did you like the one on Abel Danger?
Oh yeah, you know we heard so much about Abel Danger over the months, and every right wing. Talking babble.
Kurt Weldon's out there every time you turned around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Abel Danger. Well, they knew who Muhammad Atta was, and they didn't do a damn thing about it. Bill Clinton was negligent. He was too busy with Monica Lewinsky. Blah, 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 blah. And here it is. The Pentagon comes out and says, there's a bunch of crap. There's nothing to Abel Danger. Nothing there. It's what Gertrude Stein said about Oakland, California. There's no there.
And it's like I said, one of the things I saw somebody wrote about it said, yeah, and then you wonder how long it's going to be till Lou Dobbs has Kurt Weldon on there so he can apologize. Yeah.
Yeah, not anytime soon.
Well, I'm just curious. I mean, maybe if you heard anything. I'm just curious where we haven't heard anything out of Richard Clark.
You know, maybe he's got a new book deal coming.
That's what I'm wondering. I mean, you know, it just seems interesting now because he seems like he'd be the person everybody would be trying to get the interview with right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So. I love the thing, you know, well, they didn't give us any plan, and everybody, the 2 or 3 people I've seen sitting there holding the plan going, here's the plan, you know. The one that, you know, that the Clinton administration left for him, it's like, Gandhi, can we try the truth for a change? Come on.
Nah, truth's not in her. And, of course, you know, did you catch the other Gandhi story, Luke?
Which one?
She was the one who certified that the air around the 9/11 collapse site was safe to breathe, the cancer-causing air. That was her call. She, you know, she was the one who put it over onto Christy Todd Whitman. But no, it was Condi's call. You all breathe that air. It won't hurt you. You're poor people.
And like I say, I used to have a little bit of respect for Christy Todd Whitman, but that when I heard about all that, and later on she did quit partly due to that, but she should have quit right then. You know what I mean? That,
yeah.
You know, that's where you should have said, no, ain't going to do this.
Well, you know, that's one of those things when your conscience starts going, ouch. You know, it's Jiminy Cricket stuff, Luke. You let your conscience be your guide and you're done.
Well, you know, it's like, isn't it amazing how little coverage this thing with Batista and all these people's getting?
Oh, what do you mean, none?
Yeah. Other than a few people, Randy Rhodes, you know, some of the people who you know, who will never hear anything about, but, you know, she read some of that stuff and it was just, and I got to watch some of it. It's just incredible.
Well, we're in a weird place right now, Luke. This business about Keith Olbermann getting a white powder letter.
Uh-huh. I saw that. I couldn't find anything to forward it to you, or I would have. And this thing where the New York Post said, "Oh, he was saying he turned yellow." It's like,
yeah, he's
you
a sissy man.
I would.
You know,
I'd run screaming.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, get me the Cipro. I mean. Have we forgotten that when we got hit by anthrax, and I think it was something you sent me reminded me, and this isn't conspiracy theory stuff. The White House was taking Cipro a week before the anthrax attacks happened.
And no one's ever explained that.
Well, we've forgotten to ask. I mean, this is one of my little common themes, and I apologize for repeating myself, but this is one of our problems. The crap stacks up so high, so thick, that we can't keep up with one felony before we got to start worrying about another one.
I know. It's like I say, it's 20 different directions we need to go at the same time. You know, it's this stuff. I mean, you know, the thing that got me was with Batiste, and he just went after Rumsfeld. With Spurs on.
Yeah.
You know, he said this man, you know, said this had the plan he had was totally inadequate and all this stuff. And I mean, I'm like, yeah, go on.
Well, you know, but we'll just call him a dead ender and move on.
And he sat there and when he reads his resume, he's a Republican, but you know what I mean? He has a good resume for a general, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's got a general looking kind of what you'd expect from, you know, an old blood and guts and all of that, sure.
I mean, you know, like I say, it wasn't like he was just appointed. He came up through it. You know, he served in the places, you know, where it's like so.
He's heard a bullet fly by from time to time. I get the idea. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm sure, like you say, I'm sure that, you know, he's a dead ender. Yeah, just somebody with a grudge. You know how that is. But, you know, it's just amazing. Like you said, the thing with CNN. It's like, you know what? I know they have one or two reporters, you know, who do fun news. You know what I mean? I mean, you know.
But it's all happy news now.
That's what I mean. You know, I mean, you've got a place on there. I think that they, you know, like what's the lady's name? Moose.
Oh, Jeannie Moose.
Jeannie Moose.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You know, she does their what I call the humorous news. You know, the weird.
She's the human interest reporter. Yeah.
And she has a part on there that they do it. It's like, gang, some a whole bunch of this stuff needs to be in there. You know what I mean? The one with the goose. It's like, God. And you all call this news.
Well, I mean, this. I'm going to refresh this because apparently it's changed and it won't open the stories for him anymore. But,
okay. Yeah,
like I said, brother gets three-year-old sister drunk. Goose exercises flying next door to Harley biker. School spends $2,300 on poodle to calm kids. Clay Aiken, it's a new chapter. Itsy Bitsy writer, victim of imposter. Dobbs keep religion out of politics. That's it. You know, and frankly, you know, I don't... Look, I love sports. I do.
Oh, yeah.
Bad college football fan, not so much NFL, but I will be caught watching it from time to time. Today, and I'm talking about not just ESPN, ESPN2, not just the Fox Sports Channel. I'm talking about CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, Fox. You know, everybody. It was all Terrell Owens all the time.
You know, it's one of
on the day that we were legalizing torture, Luke.
I know. Like you say, it's like, you know, gang, you wish sometimes they would run a poll, or not a poll, but, you know, run one of those, what's the most important, you know, have like top 10 stories or whatever it is.
Well, what's tonight's Nancy Grace? Athlete suicide, is it worth it? You know. you know, I understand why Elvis shot the TV.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm sure Larry King will do an hour on something like that too. You know, and it's like,
hey kids, it's hydrocodone. Be careful to take that stuff. Be careful about taking that stuff if you're already on some other vitamin supplements.
I'm just glad Bullwinkle's little baby sister ain't still on the air. We'd have an hour from her.
God, she went off the air, and I started trying real hard to forget her, but.
Well, like I said, I still figure one day she's going to show up probably as Nancy Grace's the partner, you know. Nancy's the.
Yeah,
Nancy
see, you all, you time. Almost, you almost said Nancy Grace's. Mm.
No, partner.
Okay.
That's what I said. That's what I meant.
I thought there was a little pause there.
No. I probably just want to make sure I said it right.
Yes.
Didn't want to make that mistake.
Yes, the itch that Nancy Grace scratches. Yes.
But you know what I mean? It's one of these things. It's like, you know, like we were talking one time. It's like Larry King. It's like, Larry, go over to Headline News. Be over there with the people who don't do anything, you know, who fill up the time. You know, it's like, you know, get away from people. You know, it's like. You sit there and watch him, it's like an hour of CNN, but there's no news.
Do they still actually do any news at all on Headline News? Or is it just the ticker underneath Nancy Grace and Glenn Beck?
And every once in a while they'll do their showbiz hour. Which, I mean, to be honest, of the three of them, it's probably the best one of them.
It's probably got more fact in it.
That's what I was going to say. At least it's mostly just fact, you know what I mean? It's sort of like their version of fighting off Entertainment Tonight or something. You know, it's like, okay. But, you know, it's one of these things, like you say, you know, I've been reading Eric Bowert's Lab Dog Media.
Yeah.
And you read some of these things now, some of these things, you just, like I say, you just read it, and you just want to put the book down, walk outside, and scream for about 10 minutes.
Well, you know, our good friend Angelica over in Germany emailed me some photographs of the work of a guy named Tilly, who does these parade floats and sculptures. Our friend David in Nashville referenced a couple of them last night, one with Angela Merkel climbing a ladder up to Bush's butt. And she sent me a whole bunch of these photographs. One of them was just amazing. It was George Bush in an Uncle Sam suit holding a cross that said, "In God We Trust," and the cross was a machine gun. And the guy had, you know, he had the belt with the rounds feeding into it and fire coming out of the barrel. What would you give, Luke, to live in an America where we actually had that kind of freedom of expression?
Well, the thing that gets me is that you aren't hearing many people report on it. You know, I sent you the thing, and I know you've seen it, is this whole thing with the Newsweek cover. You know, the international versions and the U.S. version. You know, like you said, you know, the
yeah, My Life in Picture by My Life in Pictures by Annie Leibovitz.
And, you know, like the people said, you know, we ain't got anything against Annie Leibovitz, but, you know, why is her, she getting the cover in the U.S. and the rest of the world is seeing this one about
losing in Afghanistan? Well, I mean, I think when they do that kind of thing, they make it rather obvious, don't they, Luke?
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's one of those things that most people here don't know about it.
No, they don't. They don't. I make assumptions, you know, and in some ways maybe it's bad for me that I'm back here behind this microphone every night, because I do. I make assumptions that everybody in the entire world is as informed as the people who share their time with this program, like you and others.
We talked about it one time, long, long time ago. I said, you know, one of the first times I ever knew that the Iraq thing was totally a hoax was the statue pull down. Because I saw the BBC coverage of it.
Right. The one without the crowd.
Well, the one where they pulled back across this park, where you could see that this thing was a TV set. You know what I mean? They had the reflectors, the whole nine yards. What we saw on U.S. TV was essentially a stage show.
Well, right. And then, what is it, a couple of months later, you get the landing on the USS Abraham Lincoln, how much does it cost to turn a nuclear aircraft carrier around?
Well, it's like the one question that people ask that didn't get too much asking. I heard it once or twice was, why is it Bush has to fly out in a fighter jet, but all the reporters came out by helicopter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the camera angle they had to take very carefully so as not to show San Diego in the background.
Well, from what I understand, that the people that were doing the filming were told not to turn their cameras around.
Yeah. Or,
you can face the extra area we show you. You cannot spin that camera 180 degrees.
Yeah, because 180 degrees is a violation of national security. Sure. Yeah. And you know, it's enough to fill a book. It, honest to God, is, Luke. Yeah,
well, it's like I said.
Remember the plastic turkey?
Oh, God. The Iraqi plastic turkey run, yes, indeedy. It's like, George, it's amazing how strong you are. You could hold that turkey with almost one hand. You know what I mean?
And yeah, and the sheen on it, the sheen on it almost looks like it's been Vaseline.
Yeah. And it's like, amazingly enough, no one went over and ate that one. You know, it's one of those things. It's like I've told you this before. I saw one recently. You know, we saw that thing where the timeline.
Yeah.
Someday after this administration, we're going to get somebody that's going to do a book that's just going to be each day and what the real news was on that day and what was the fake news on that day. You know, here's what they told you on the evening news. Here's what else was really happening in America. Surprise!
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's like, say, you wonder if you know, in the background when they play, when they do the news, you should have to Leave It to Beaver theme playing. Or My Three Sons, you know, something like that. It's like, well, this isn't real news. This is, you know, homogenized news. Congratulations.
Well, you know, safe for your consumption.
That's right. It's been put through the new government anti-Bush chip.
Yeah, well, it's been through the media sanitizer.
Yeah.
You remember the great Frank Zappa album, Joe's Garage?
Oh, gosh.
You remember the announce voice in between that? This is the Central Scrutinizer. Well, you know, the Central Scrutinizer is under contract to every major network, and he's got a little office in the basement of the White House.
You know, it's one of these things. It's just amazing to see the way this stuff is being ripped up. Like I say, I hate calling you this time of night because I've got the tape in right now, but it's like I say, I've got to the point now, it's like I say, every night I've got to watch Oberman, and then I've got to watch Stewart and Colbert.
It's a guilty pleasure, you know. And
well, man, if you don't, you ain't gonna find out some stuff that you probably need to know.
Isn't that the truth?
Like, hey,
yeah.
Watch CNN. It's like I say, I'm about to the point with them. I can say, turned on this morning. Okay, turn on ABC. Well, they're talking to Newt Gingrich. Okay, switch channels. Turn over to the Today Show. They're talking to Bill Roll Them Dice Bennett. I'm afraid to turn over to CBS, see who they'd have on.
Yeah, I know. And you know, you'd like to know things about, Keith Olbermann getting, you know, because that wasn't one of us.
I found that on Buzzsplash. You were talking about places to check. I always check Buzzsplash and Bart Cop.
Yeah, I'm a big Bart Copper, and I go by Buzzsplash from time to time as well, too. The one thing that occurs to me with the Keith Olbermann soap powder, anthrax, whatever. Given what we know, and given what was not given the publicity that it deserved, I wonder if that envelope has been dusted for fingerprints, and if they have a representative sample from Ann Coulter with which to compare it.
Well, let's see. You've got Ann Coulter, and you've got to check the Bill O, and there's a whole bunch of list of suspects there. But apparently, he's doing something on this tonight, where apparently the Post broke this. And they're paid six or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And apparently it was still under investigation. So apparently the people investigating are not real happy about this.
Well, I would imagine. And then, you know, made him sound like a complete, you know, sissy.
Tried to.
Yeah.
But like I say, it's one of those things. I'm sitting there reading that going, I don't blame him.
Powder.
You're taking me to the hospital now.
Here's the headline. Powder Puff Spooks Keith. MSNBC loudmouth Keith Olbermann flipped out when he opened his home mail yesterday. The acerbic host of Countdown with Keith Olbermann was terrified when he opened a suspicious-looking letter with a California postmark and a batch of white powder poured out. Hell, it came from California. It's probably, I would have figured it was Coke. Sorry, my bad.
I know. Can't help it. Too easy, I know.
A note inside warned Olbermann, who's a frequent critic of President Bush's policies, that it was payback for some of his on-air shtick.
And if we know Olbermann, we know that this might make him even more intense.
Yeah, I got a feeling.
And like I say, the one the other night was pretty intense.
Well, he's fast approaching, and I think, you know, it's probably deliberate, and I can't blame him. I think he really believes that it's time for somebody to step up and actually do the daggum work.
Well, it's like you say. I mean, it's sort of like this may be his, blank on me for just a second. This may be his Edward R. Murrow moment.
Well, yeah, I think he is consciously trying to fill the journalistic ethics and the void in that subject that is absent in this nation. And that does mean stepping up to the plate and taking the risks that Edward R. Murrow actually took.
Mm-hmm. or something like Cronkite, when Cronkite, you know, said that about the Vietnam War. You know, yeah. They ripped him up and down for that, but he was right. You know, he says, we cannot win this.
And, you know, the sad thing is he was right. That was 1968, 67? It was 67. And the sad thing is it took him 3 years. It took him 3 years to get to that point.
Yeah.
Now, we live in 2006, and in 2003, and I'm not saying I'm in those guys' league. I'm not. But in 2003, when the bombs started falling, I said, we have lost this war.
Well, I tell you, the one that got to me is I don't know if they cut him off or what, but have you noticed the guy on CNN who does their reporting from over there? One sort of a brown mustache. I can't think of what his name is. He's not one of their normal people. You know what I mean?
No, not he's
over in Baghdad.
Yeah, he's a contractor of some sort.
And you can tell with him, it's like he just wants to sit there and go, let's leave. It's over. When you listen to him, sometimes you can tell he's wanting to tell Wolf, it's like, Wolf, this is over. You know, send me the ticket. I'm coming home.
You know, I'd love to be a fly on the wall inside the staff meeting that goes on at the beginning of every day. Because, I mean, they really do happen, and they really do talk about how they're going to cover things and what's going to be said and how it's going to be delivered. And if you have a shred of honest-to-God journalistic ethics about you, Luke, every one of those meetings has got being tortured. Sorry.
I'm going to go right here because I know you're at the bottom of the hour. I saw, you know, Oberman's doing his stick, and I'm sitting over here and switched over to CNN. Of course, it's the Terrell Owens story.
Oh, yeah. It's all Terrell all the time. Because, well, you know, torture starts with T, too. But, we're still at T-E. We haven't gotten to T-O. Wait, T-O, Terrell Owens, torture, T-O-R. Okay, so, no, that's T-O, yeah, that's W. We're past it now. Yeah, we're past it. Yeah.
All right.
All right, Luke, take it easy.
Let you go,
all right, we'll see you now. Take care. Our good friend Luke, Knoxville, Tennessee. Luke mentioned going from time to time to BART Cop, and I'm a BART Cop regular myself. This was on the page today. It was a writer writing in. That's what writers do, oddly enough, to web pages. A fellow named Mike in Mesa, Arizona, wrote to BART Cop and said, I watched Hardball yesterday, and Twinkie had on Kate O'Byrne and Bob Schrum. And that, boop, Schrum said Clinton did not look good, talking about the Wallace interview. Clinton did not look good because he got pissed. With Democrats like that, you can't win. And there is a heck of a lot of truth in that. There are Democrats still... It's a
pity he lost his mind on Chris Wallace. You know, if he would have taken hands with him and prayed, that's what they needed to do. They needed to pray.
It's time to get off our knees as Democrats, or by God, we won't live on them. We'll die on them. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Whatever's wrong with this cruel world.
There's a place on the web you can go where everything is so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there working hard for you every day. It's a place where you can go to raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. So stop on by. The 101st Fighting Keyboardists of Kansas are ready to hear your opinion. There are topics of news, current events, and great humor. So let Clyde, Wally, and Dookie know that you're a working person too. WD40.com. Stop on by.
Hello?
Louise, it's Ralph. Listen, would you go out with me tomorrow?
At 8? Ralph, I'd love to.
Well, I have an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I really want you to come along.
A doctor's office? That's so special. Oh, I just remembered. I have to delete some emails.
Come on, Louise. We're going to talk about the pain in my hip, and I could use a little support.
I guess I'm not very hip.
You could take notes and help me remember stuff. Look, I have all my doctor questions written down, but there's so much to remember. I need you there with me so I don't miss anything.
Couldn't we just play miniature golf?
Louise, I'm not asking for a kidney.
Bringing someone to your appointment is a good way to make sure you and your physician are on the same page. The idea is to partner with your doctor and share information so you can make informed decisions together. For more on patient-doctor communications, visit orthoinfo.org, a message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where patient-centered care means getting better together.
Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What'll you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment, or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/pass it on. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plug in.
Wednesday night, prayer meeting edition of Head On. Me, little old me, Bob. Brother Bob, cathedral of common sense. I don't speak so well when I'm naked. We are, of course, celebratorily naked in support of the nude statues, the dangerous nude statues, at the Dallas Museum of Art. And just a reminder, if you didn't get it earlier, if you want to help stand up for Sidney McGee, veteran 28-year art teacher in the public schools of Texas, strong member of her state teachers association, the teachers union, former president thereof, you can send an email to Reedy R, that's R-E-E-D-Y-R, at Frisco, F-R-I-S-C-O, I-S-D, Frisco, I-S-D, .org. Be nice. Be polite. But explain to them that ignorance is, maybe you might explain to them that ignorance is more dangerous to our children than any nude art. That bigotry is more dangerous to our children than any nude art. And that we are not setting a very good example for our children when we punish teachers who are trying to teach. When we were talking with Roggy Dunn, they had a Mayan art exhibit there. Oh. Oh, I'd love to see a Mayan art exhibit. That is one of the downsides of living in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful West Virginia. You don't get a lot of Mayan art exhibits. But, you know, maybe the opportunity will arise someday. Now, we all know that while the world has been obsessed with whether or not Terrell Owens tried to kill himself by eating a handful of pills, hydrocodone, I don't know. Maybe you chewed them up for the refreshing burst of flavor. You just don't know. But while that was going on, CNN was concerned with a goose that flies by a Harley rider. Sorry. It just is what it is. This is, school siege over, hostage injured. Plea to let T.O. heal. It's been updated now. Zero gravity surgeons float around patient. Curtain falls on tale of decapitated gods. Teen sentenced for killing TV lawyer's wife. Still can't find the story on us legitimizing torture. Torture. T-O-R-T-U-R-E. Torture. And, you know, if you want to point out the failure of mainstream religion in this country, let's go look at and see what the Religion Industry News Service is saying. No, nothing about torture there. Ministry finds many obstacles complicate Latin American Bible distribution. Huh? Oh, here it is. House of Representatives. Oh, okay. No. House approves act protecting freedom of religious expression. No, that's not it. Giving the thirsty something to drink. Oh, okay. Legal group hails Washington court's decision to revisit paycheck protection law. Oh. Now, this is a story worth us taking a peep at, okay? Because it's not as dull and mundane, and of course it has been spun in such a way as to make an so that they don't tell the truth, because this is the religion industry and lying is what they do. The Supreme Court has agreed to review Washington State's paycheck protection law. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? Why, they're going to protect my paycheck. My paycheck's being protected. They're going to build a little fence around my paycheck. Maybe this means that if I lose my job, I keep getting paid. No. This is a union-busting measure. The Washington State Paycheck Protection Law, requires unions to get the permission of every single individual member before it can spend collective bargaining dues on political activity. Now, the Evergreen Freedom Foundation, you can look them up if you want to make their hit counter spin. I'll tell you who they are. They're a bunch of right-wing, right-to-work goobers, okay? They believe that America will only be good when we're all working for the same money as people chained to tables in sweatshops in China, okay? Unless, of course, it's them. They want to make a lot of money. But if it's a teacher's group that's standing up for, how about somebody like Sidney McGee? You'll note in our conversation with Roggy Dunn, her lawyer, that he said that one of the first things that happened is her teachers' union stepped in and slapped down an intimidation, punitive attempt on the part of the independent school district. Stopped it. That's what unions do. Unions help you get unscrewed, as it were, when the boss has screwed you. And in Washington State, the Evergreen Freedom Foundation, that sounds nice, it's evergreen and it's freedom and it's a foundation, it's solid and it's free and it's green, and I bet they drive biodiesel cars at the Evergreen Freedom Foundation. No, sugar, no. The Evergreen Freedom Foundation is an astroturf group funded in whole by organizations that despise working people. And they filed a lawsuit against the Washington Education Association. Now listen to how it's written, though. The Evergreen Freedom Foundation, praise Jesus, had filed a complaint, dear God, against the Washington Education Association, heathens, after the union ignored the law's I'm sorry, I'll do it straight. The Evergreen Freedom Foundation had filed a complaint against the Washington Education Association after the union ignored the law's requirement to get members' consent before using their dues for liberal political causes. Okay, I read that straight. Unfortunately, these bastards can't write it straight. Because you caught that, didn't you? Requirement to get members' consent before using their dues for liberal political causes. What does that imply? Well, they don't have to, conservative political causes. Well, those are godly and legal, and they don't have to get consent to do that. But you see, it's a union, so they don't support good, godly, upstanding conservative causes. You know, if they did that, we wouldn't be raising a fuss. But it's their political causes, their liberal political causes. You know, like not letting teachers be fired over the trip to the museum. Yes, I know, Washington versus Texas, two different things, but you know what? It's not. Sydney McGee in Frisco, Texas, is a woman who works for a living, and she has a union behind her. And teachers who work in Washington State have a union. And these sorry seventh sons of syphilitic sea cooks at the Evergreen Freedom Foundation want to take that union away. Take it away from teachers in Washington so that if one does happen to take them to a museum where there's a nudie statue at the same time that there's a bond issue that might get some fundy upset, that the teacher can just be fired. Now, this is what the religion industry, these people call themselves followers of Christ. This is what they're putting out in their press releases. This is what they're supporting. What does this have to do with the message of Christ? Nothing, nothing, not a darn thing, not a blessed, ever-loving thing. But this is what they're behind. This is what their members' money goes to support. You know what? I want the American Family Association to have to get the individual permission of each and every one of its members. Oh, but that's implied because they join us and we're godly and they're godly. See? Oh, we'll make a union go out and waste union money to either create a, you know, pay somebody to send out a jillion emails or send out a million postcards and hope that they've got to be pre-stamped to come back so that they can, and then they got to be counted and we got to pay money to do that, and you got to do all that before you can what? Lobby against a freak law that hurts teachers in the state of Washington? But we won't ask that of the Liberty Lobby. Oh, no, by God, that's religious expression. That's protected. But, you know, we can't protect political expression on the part of a union. Oh, hell no. Evergreen Freedom Foundation, my left hind foot. Let's go to the phones. We're joined by our good friend David in Nashville. Hey, David, welcome to the program. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for letting me come in, and gee willikers, am I killing another break that I shouldn't have?
No, ain't nothing on the chopping block.
Oh, goody. Well, you know, any time they show up with that Freedom Foundation, oh, boy, I tend to cringe, but
grab your wallet and get a cork.
Yeah, put the important body parts in the corner of the room, you know, back it up against the wall because something's headed your way.
Yeah.
And you were talking about things we're not hearing enough about earlier in the program.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it once today, and, you know, I'm a retired guy. I take afternoon naps. I thought, well, maybe I haven't been up long enough. Maybe I was dreaming that. And on a different radio station, I heard dear leaders say the same words. Now, before I get around to that, typically, if you've got a government and it's headed by a president, appointed though he is, and that government is the most powerful government on the face of the earth, you would think their evaluations and their thoughts and their processes and what they looked at to create a final decision would be based on informed, educated people's efforts to research and think it through.
Oh, man, you're running far afield, aren't you?
Oh, I know. I'm wishing for a whole hell of a lot because, you know, after all, Ronnie Reagan, the most revered Republican president in decades, was run by a stick figure woman that taught the astrologers to make sure she had the U.S. government on the right track. Anyway, you would think there would be these groups of informed people doing reports, looking stuff up, observing, intelligence at its highest level, all feeding into a decision-making process where crucial decisions were going to be made. And here we are. We got W, and we got Mr. Afghanistan in the country, and we've got Mr. Pakistan in the country. And these are, you know, the top of their heap. And W's going to have them over to the house for dinner tonight. And I quote, I'm gonna watch their body language tonight over dinner to see how much tension there is in the region.
No, he didn't.
I will drop dead. The bolt of lightning will come through the ceiling and kill me dead.
Just please tell me. No. You're funning. We have a lot of fun on this program, Dave. He didn't.
I'm going to watch their body language to see how much tension there is between them. And the inference was, in the region of the world where they live, the chat room is right now screaming. I heard it too. I'll bet you anything, and I'm not even on the chat room. How long is it going to take? Come on, chat room, save my butt, would you please? He said it, Bob.
They'll get there.
I'm going to watch their body language. So, the timing for...
Does that include when one guy gets the knife out and puts it, these are your rib, this is your spleen right above your liver, right above your gallbladder? I mean, that's some hellacious body language, isn't it?
Or a guy from another culture has a gaseous reaction to some odd American delicacy, you know, like pinto beans or something. Give me a break.
Death to you!
Exactly. The next nuclear attack is going to be based on the body language of a guy from a third world nation that took over by aiming a gun at the previous leader's head, and the observation is going to be made by a double-digit IQ cocor. Tell me that we're not in trouble. Please, help me get through this.
No, I'm sorry. I won't lie to you. No, this ain't right-wing radio. We're in trouble. He's going to read the body language. The last time he did this, he was looking into Vladimir Putin's soul, and that didn't work too well either.
Thank you. And gee whiz, how much of a screw job has, you know, Putsky given to him since then? He will say stuff, you know, Putin will say stuff with Bush in the room, which is demeaning, and it's a put-down.
Oh, you mean that line about, you mean like the democracy you've built in Iraq? No thank you, Mr. President?
Cha-ching, we have a winner in the quick comeback contest. Get that premier a toaster.
Oh, let's see, do they do bagels in Russia?
Oh, I reckon.
Yeah, one of the wide ones. With room for, and a little caviar warmer on the side.
Exactly. Well,
he's going to read the body.
Yes. I was not dreaming. I heard it. I heard it twice. I'm going to watch. All right, I've said it enough. I'm not going to repeat myself more than the twice I already have. But that's our boy. That's their leader.
That's our Bush.
The rest, exactly. Our Bush.
I'm going to watch the body language.
Rest easy. You're president watching the eyeball.
You know, but see, I mean, this is it's all about putting two and two together and adding 12 and carrying five, as C.W. McCall once said. I'm going to watch their body language, and then you go, and then we time Sherman set the Wayback Machine for Mexico, he's a pretty man, and you're a pretty man. I got a Scott. He's not near as pretty a man as you. You're a pretty man.
Oh, wait a second. I'm behind.
No. This was years ago. This was when he was meeting the Prime Minister of Canada, whose assistant was named Scott, and he had slithering Scotty McClellan with him there. And he said, your name's Scott? I got me a Scott, too, but he's not near as pretty as you. You're a pretty man. You know that? My Scott's not pretty, but you're a pretty man. And now he's going to watch the body language of Pervez Musharraf and Hamid Karzai.
Thank you, because I could only say Mr. Afghanistan and Mr. Pakistan.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm a trained broadcaster. It's taken years, David. It's taken years. Do not try this at home.
And I admire your facility with the spoken word. I, however, a proud product of the Tennessee public school system. All I can do is, you know, offer up a thought here and there and see what teacher has to think about it.
Well, I'm horrified. I guess that dinner's going on about now. Well, 8 minutes till bedtime there at the White House, isn't it?
For him, get those, you know. Have Mama rub her hands on the feet of those jammies because, you know, he doesn't like cold feet.
Nope. No cold feet. Well, he's got cold feet. he's got cold feet and a yellow stripe up his back.
Well, that too. I mean, all he had to do during his time in the service, hearkening back to that sort of stuff, all he had to do was go, you know, avoid being loaded sufficiently to go play with his airplane once a month, and hell, he couldn't even.
Sad, isn't it?
I know some of those guys that used to play with airplanes once a month, and I fully expect that at least half the times they went up, they were higher than the airplane just because.
Higher than Georgia Pine.
You got it. Well, Bob.
David, thank you so much.
Close enough to the top. I'm getting out of the way.
Well. You're never in the way, my friend. Never, never in the way. And I would not have known that he was going to be doing body language tonight had you not brought it to the table.
What? You think I'd make that up? If I would say to you...
Honest to God, I wish you had.
Hey, Bob, I just came up with a great line. How about this? The President of the United States is going to read body language as to decide the real status of two countries, one of which has several nukes. It has weapons that go boom and lots of folks die. He's going to sit around and decide whether or not to cross their arms will tell him how it's going in their part of the world. What do you think if we try that one tonight, Bob? Talk about getting my ears boxed. You'd have whacked me senseless.
I remember a long time ago, I forget which comedian it was, but it was back when Dan Quayle was the Vice President of the United States, and we all hung on tenterhooks for 4 years because we knew that moron was a heartbeat away from the presidency.
That was scary, wasn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, we had no idea. You know, we had no idea what was coming. But I remember a comedian once saying, you know, I don't even do Dan Quayle jokes anymore. I walk into the barber shop and he's got 8. I go to the grocery store, somebody's got another dozen Dan Quayle jokes. He said, I can't make a living as a comedian doing Dan Quayle jokes when the whole world's out there giving them away for free. That's where we are with this president.
Oh.
I mean, sometimes he's funny and you'd like to just sit there and go, ha, 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 look at that dummy.
Well, that's the way I was when he was governor of Texas. I thought,
but there ain't nothing. But it ain't funny anymore.
No, because between cheap, bad bad ballot boxes, and Karl Rove, enough of the American public bought it, and well, they ate it and they swallowed and they smiled, and I never imagined it would work the second time. But it didn't. He had to steal a second election. You know, at least there's a Bush that's been appointed.
Well, you know, I mean, if you're as a guy, if you're cruising the bar at 1 o'clock on Saturday night, Sunday morning, and you know you're at the bar of last resort, and there, that's where you read the body language. Because when you, hey honey, let me buy you, and you know she keeps walking, that's body language.
Maybe with a certain single finger salute over the right shoulder.
Yeah, that's body language. You know, that's when you're at the car lot and the guy's telling you, oh, this is a great automobile, and he keeps looking at the tires and his shoelaces and anything, but it's a great car. That's body language.
And getting back to that first analogy, and the only thing at stake is whether or not you're going to sleep a little better that night.
Right. You know, these people.
But there's a lot riding on this.
Yeah, this one, people have guns, nuclear weapons, the 6-foot-4-inch Arab in a cave somewhere that may or may not have typhoid and a bum kidney.
And the largest heroin producing nation in the world. Think about that. Those two guys at that dinner table control enough nukes to make everybody's life miserable and 3/4 of the heroin produced in the world.
Well, you know, it works out kind of nicely, David. They control enough nukes to make 2/3 of the population miserable, and the other side produces enough heroin to make 2/3 of the population not give a damn.
Yeah, that's nice company for dinner, and they're George's best friends, I reckon.
Wonder what we taxpayers are serving for dinner tonight. Back Bay Bunny Bordelaise a la Antoine under tooled leather. Yum, yum. Oh, God, I can't stand it, David. We're trying to make funny, but it ain't funny.
Say goodnight, Bob.
Good night, Bob. Good night, David.
Yeah, see ya.
Later. No, I know. I get a little flippant. Some of this in other circumstances would be an absolute hoot. It would be an absolute scream. And I laugh and I carry it. We got to laugh a little bit. Come on, give me a break, all right, please? I didn't know this one. I did not get this story in the email box today. I didn't see it for myself. But Dear Leader is sitting at a dinner table with Hamid Karzai and Pervez Musharraf, and he's waiting to see which one shoots the first spitball, throws the first hunk of bread, or flips the first ice cube to tell which one's the bad guy over there. He's sitting at a table with a guy who told 60 Minutes just, this past Sunday? Or the Sunday before that? That one of the president's functionaries did say, in fact, that he would bomb Pakistan into the Stone Age if they didn't support us in our decision to bomb another country into the Stone Age. And we're going to read body language. See, it's bad enough that George Bush is, dumber than a bag of worms. That's bad enough. But the problem is, he doesn't know it. He thinks he's the smart guy. He thinks he's smarter than Pervez Musharraf and Hamid Karzai put together. And that is not a good sign for us at all. So look, it's time for news. We'll get over the body language thing. You want to get in on the conversation, spend a little time in the Cathedral of Common Sense? You're welcome to do so. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral for Head On. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Brother Bob.
News Network. The hostage crisis in Bailey, Colorado has ended. The gunman who took 6 people hostage at a high school today killed himself after shooting one of those hostages. The teenage girl has been flown to a hospital in critical condition. A motive for the attack has not been determined. At the White House, President Bush is having dinner tonight with Afghan President Hamid Karzai and Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf. Karzai and Musharraf have been critical of each other's efforts to fight terrorism along their shared border. On Capitol Hill, Republicans in the House and Senate have cleared the way for legislation on terrorism detainees. It gives President Bush the authority to detain, interrogate, and try them before military commissions. In Washington, lawmakers say a plan to crack down on border security is being delayed. They say they want to ensure the new ID cards aimed at preventing terrorists from entering the country do not hinder legitimate travelers from Canada and Mexico. The plan is expected to be taken up again in 17 months. At the White House, spokesman Tony Snow said the full national intelligence estimate from April will not be released because it would jeopardize the lives of agents who collected the information. President Bush declassified 3 of the 30 pages yesterday. A University of Maryland survey finds that 71% of Iraqis want the U.S.-led forces to withdraw within 1 year. A survey also shows that most Iraqis believe the U.S. force is creating more conflict than it is preventing. In Baghdad, a U.S. military commander says that insurgent attacks have increased in the past 2 weeks. This is the Islamic month of Ramadan. He says there were more suicide attacks this week than ever before. Today, at least 10 people were killed, another 11 wounded, in a shootout near a Sunni mosque in northern Baghdad. In Israel today, officials released the Palestinian deputy prime minister who had been jailed without charges since mid-August. That came after Israel's highest court ordered that he be let go. He was one of dozens of Hamas officials who were arrested in an Israeli crackdown on Hamas. In Berlin today, Iran's top nuclear negotiator and the European Union's policy chief met for talks. However, they did not discuss the contents of those talks. They'll meet again tomorrow. You're listening to the Quality News Network. A look at science and business is next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The American Academy of Family Physicians is predicting a shortage of family physicians in some states by the year 2020. The group says that's due to larger elderly populations in Nevada, Arizona, Florida, Texas, and Idaho. The Commerce Department reports that new home sales went up 4.1% last month, the largest increase in 5 months. The Commerce Department also reports that U.S. factory orders for big-ticket manufactured goods fell 0.5 percentage point in August. That's worse than economists had expected. The American Bankers Association reports that the percentage of late credit card payments went up 4.41% in the second quarter. The group blames high energy prices and interest rate hikes. In Ohio, a family of five has sued Natural Selection Foods, saying they were sickened after eating the company's fresh spinach. The suit seeks at least $100,000 in damages. Five private detectives have been subpoenaed to appear at tomorrow's congressional hearing on the Hewlett-Packard media spying case. The head of Nissan Renault met with GM CEO in Paris today to discuss a possible alliance. Talks will continue until mid-October. Light sweet crude settled at $62.96 a barrel today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow up 20 points at 11,689. The NASDAQ was up 2 points at 2,263. S&P 500 flat at 1,336. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, coming up on 7 minutes after the hour. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go with the rest of this prayer meeting edition? Yeah, like I said, we do. We have a little bit of fun. I think it's up on the webpage, getbehindjesus.net. I mean, look, you know, if he shows up in tree trunks and cookies and hot cross buns, well, if you go, you'll get the idea. If you're easily offended and you don't like your, don't go. But, you know, I just got an email to the link of Keith Olbermann's comments. Thank you, Cindy. The comments that he offered with regard to what happened. If you go and you read the snide, snippy comments from page 6 of the New York Post, powder puff spooks Olbermann, that kind of thing. It was just snide and nasty. These people throw their humanity out the window when they go to work for the right wing. They really do. But at MSNBC.com, you can find Olbermann's comments on it. You know what? This would be terrifying. That's the aim of terror. That's the aim of right-wing terror, left-wing terror, all terror. All these assaults, for assaults they are. The aim is to make you fearful, to change the way you live your life. And people like Ann Coulter giggle about it. And George Bush's FBI still doesn't have the first daggum clue who killed all the people with the anthrax in 2001. Not a clue. And so there's Rupert Murdoch's New York Post making a joke out of it. Go read the comments or watch later. Or I bet you they show up at crooksandliars.com. Those guys are really good. Can you imagine making light of a death threat? I remember back during the first Gulf War when the Scuds were flying, and he was a crusty old curmudgeonly veteran journalist, covered the UK beat, can't remember his name right now, but whoever was at the anchor desk was communicating with the correspondent who was on the roof of something in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem, I can't remember. He said, well, don't forget your vest and your helmet. And just as plain as day, well, you know, I'm not going to worry about a lot of that. I think if one of those missiles gets close enough to do me harm, a vest and a helmet's not going to do much good. So I'll just stand here and report until I have to go inside for a while. See, that's not making fun of it. That's actually being a little bit brazen and emboldened. Yes, emboldened. On the other hand, if someone had sent an envelope full of white powder to Rupert Murdoch or that page 6 editor at the New York Post, just kidding. It's just a big joke. You would not have heard the end of it yet. It might even have gotten more coverage than Terrell Owens' accidental pill-popping thingy. But it's fun to kill liberals. It's fun to kill progressives. It's fun to threaten progressives. I don't know, you know, you guys get it. I don't know when the rest of the country is going to, though. I don't know when we're going to figure out that we are dealing with killers. And I mean every last remaining registered member of the Republican Party. Look at the vote tally. Look at the vote tally on the House torture bill today. What was it? 100 and or 200 and some odd. Yeah, 219 Republicans voted to torture some mother's children. Yeah, it changes a little bit when you look at it from a different perspective, doesn't it? 219 Republicans, and 34 so-called Democrats. 253 members of the House of Representatives in toto voted to waterboard, to electrically shock, to cut, to beat, to maim, to sleep deprive, to play Red Hot Chili Peppers to some mother's children. That's all there is to it. I could scream to the top of my lungs. It would not change the facts. The House of Representatives, a majority thereof, voted to torture people today. And that is the same crowd that inspires people to put white powder in envelopes and send them to people who say things about George Bush, who say truthful things about George Bush that they don't like. What did I say two nights ago? Stay out of small aircraft, Mr. Olbermann. I should have included, have somebody else open your mail for a while, Mr. Olbermann. Republicans, screw it. I'm tired of playing with their name. They are what they are. They are the Republican Party, and they are dangerous. They are deadly. They are killers. And if they can't kill you directly, they want to get a message through that, by God, they can try. And yet there are still members of the Democratic community and the Democratic Party who say, you know, we need to reach across the aisle and we need to form, oh, we need to form consensus. We need compromise. Somebody else can do the compromising. I won't. I owe it to my children not to. I owe it to your children not to. I owe it to children not yet born not to compromise with these murderous thugs. Let's go to the phones. Peter joins us from Tallahassee. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Bob, it's so good to talk to you.
Oh, I'm so glad you're feeling better.
Yes, sir, I'm feeling a lot better. Boy, yesterday it was kind of rough. I was in bed most of the day, and I was in bed by 7 o'clock last night.
Well, when you get hit in the head by Al-Qaeda's number two disco ball.
I know. Oh, yeah. Listeners, Bob sent me an email that said that I wasn't sick, but I was hit in the head by Al-Qaeda's number two disco ball. And it hurt to laugh, but I got to tell you, that was the best laugh I've had in a long time. Thank you. I treasure that. That was hysterical.
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
Well, I want to put everybody in the Wayback Machine for a little bit.
Yeah.
Everybody, let's climb aboard the Wayback Machine. Do you remember the early 70s? All right. In the early 70s, Jesus Christ was well on the way to becoming a totally cool, totally cultural with it, American icon.
Godspell, Jesus Christ superstar.
Absolutely. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. There was My Sweet Lord with George. You know, that was really kind of a Christian thing.
The Doobie Brothers, Jesus is just all right.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And then you've got Norman Greenbaum doing Spirit in the Sky, and the list goes on and on. There was Godspell.
Paul Davis, Do Right.
Oh, and there was Day by Day, and had the chorus about to be.
Dadgum, we are in the Wayback Machine.
Okay, right. Now, mind you, this was not Christian radio. This was Top 40.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And in thinking about that, and I Googled up an article that kind of trying to find some thoughts about this. Part of that was because the hippie movement, the people back then were a hell of a lot more spiritual than any of the Christians that are out there today.
Sure.
They've absolutely ruined the name of Christianity. And what started me on this rant is I have come across an article today, and I hope you're sitting down for this. Fox has launched a new movie label, and it's called Fox Faith. Oh, my God.
No, no, no.
Oh, yeah.
No, no. First it was David telling me about the body language, and no.
Oh, yes, Fox Faith. So here's another blow to Christianity as a whole. I mean, it was doing just fine till these evil bastards got a hold of it. Fox Faith is going to be releasing DVDs and theatrical, you know, in the movie theaters, like they've got a contract with AMC and all this stuff. And they're marketing it primarily to Christian leaders, and I'm looking at the article. It says, we work closely with the Christian retail community as well as a variety of...
Well, of course they do.
And thought leaders. Oh, no, that phrase just merely made my blood run cold. Thought leaders is exactly what the problem is with these people.
Yes, we're leaders. We'll do your thinking. You follow, you don't.
Exactly. So now we have another... Fox face. Can you imagine anything, any phrase in the play?
You know, I put a movie in the DVD player from time to time, Peter. You know, there are some things that you're used to. The little Pegasus that flies onto the screen for whatever the name of that movie house is, or that, you know. And then there's Castle Rock Entertainment with the lighthouse, and the light comes around on you. I don't even want to think what Fox Faith.
Yeah.
What their animation's going to be at the front, is there anything in there, Peter, that indicates what kind of movies they're going to produce?
I'm sure it'll be a montage of Ronald Reagan ascending into heaven. But in any case, they're going to have like a clear Christian
with a chimp. With a chimp.
What's that?
With a chimp.
With a chimp. Yeah, they're going to have a clear Christian message, is what they say. That's a quote, a clear Christian message, which basically means we're not going to mention torture. And they're going to have a film based on like an inspirational football film. And they've got a movie coming out too called Woman Thou Art Loosed. Not Woman Thou Art Loosed, but Woman Thou Art Loosed. And, you know, it just goes on and on. It just amazes me. I put this together with what was really going on, you know, back in the 70s. What a terrible thing. They've completely ruined the whole...
But you know what? They've been there all along, because this is just anecdotal, but I began my radio career, as it were, as it is, such as it is, at the Gospel Voice.
Oh, no.
And I played Jesus, This Is Jimmy, and all kinds of wonderful, the Happy Goodman family, the Kiss of the Christian music community, the Happy Goodmans. And I remember I got to play Christian rock and roll for 1 hour from 11 to midnight.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
When all the young people were in bed.
Well, no, when all the old people were in bed. That was the point, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I remember asking the program director, could I play Jesus Is Just All Right by the Doobie Brothers?
Uh-huh.
No, if you do, you'll be fired. Because, you see, that song is satanic.
Oh, I see. Play it backwards...
No. It's saying that Jesus is just all right. Jesus is not just all right, Bob. Jesus is the living Son of God.
I see. So we can't just accept that as the...
No, and I remember a sermon at the church where this freak used to go. It was, Jesus Christ, superstar or Son of God?
Oh, Lord, have mercy. So any way they can possibly shapeshift it, that's what they're going to do.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. And then another thing that got to me tonight, someone in the chat room posted an article. I wish I could remember who. I would credit you if I could, but we got a senator, a state representative, rather, in Florida. Hastner is his name, who wants to remove all the Citgo gas stations from the Florida Turnpike.
Because all the cars on the Florida Turnpike are going to travel on faith, not gasoline.
Well, that's right. I guess it's faith-based fuel. It's because, Chavez called Bush, quite rightly, the devil.
Yeah, this is Delray Beach Republican Adam Hasner.
That is actually the reason. He has actually quoted as saying that is the reason, because he called George Bush the devil.
He said a clear message needs to be sent to Chavez that the state of Florida will not support institutions that seek the destabilization of America.
But weren't we all talking a little while back that they were going to sell off the bridges and the turnpikes?
They're already selling off the turnpikes. Indiana sold theirs off to an Australian consortium. And, you know, this guy seek the destabilization of America. What does he suppose that Saudi Arabia does, you know, Peter? but he's a Republican. He's probably got an he's got an IQ that you have to measure with a microscope.
Yeah, absolutely true. So know, there's no Citgo Zoom on the Florida Turnpike. You're just going to have to run out of gas and let the gators get you.
I ain't got to run faster than that gator. I just got to run faster than you.
Oh, my. Anyway, that's all I have tonight. I just wanted to remind everybody that once upon a time in most everybody's memory, Jesus was a rising star.
Yes.
No more, buddy.
As opposed to a guy with a machine gun.
Exactly.
And a club.
Exactly.
Scary dude.
Exactly.
Thanks, Peter.
Yes, sir. I enjoyed talking to you.
See you later. My pleasure. You take care.
Bye.
Bye. And onward, first-time caller Lee calling from North Carolina. Lee, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Oh, pretty good. Well, not really. This is
I know.
The first time I just got totally. I'm angry.
Okay.
With this vote in the House on the forfeit bill.
Anybody in their right mind, anybody with a half an ounce of compassion or decency, or even a conscience or a soul, Lee, is. And I'm not. And so, you know, you can kind of feel good about being mad about it. It means you're human.
Well, you know, I'm also kind of upset that all of the. I'm not going to say progressive. I'm liberal. Okay.
Okay.
I'm liberal. I'm proud of it. But all of the liberal media. The only thing to talk about is how bad the Republicans are, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm angry with the Democrats. Look, the Republicans are the Republicans. A snake is a snake. A snake does what a snake does.
Darn right.
That's his nature. If the liberal Democrats that are stupid enough to think they can make a snake a pet, to think that they can reason with the snake.
Well, that's, you know, I'm glad you're listening to this program because you're never going to hear that here.
Okay.
I mean, that's I agree. I mean, Bart, as I mentioned earlier, Bart Kopp has this letter from a reader talking about Bob Schrum appearing talking to Chris Matthews, saying that Clinton did wrong by losing his temper because we need to be reasonable with these people. You know, reasonable. Reasonable ended, Lee, in January 2001 when we installed a man who wasn't even elected president.
Try being reasonable with the snake. It does not work.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't work. The problem is the Republican or the Democratic Congress from day one laid down. You don't lay. The first thing you do to a bully is stand up to him.
Darn right. And the minute you punch that bully in the nose, he won't be a bully anymore.
Back down. And the first time you back away, he just keeps pushing and pushing and pushing.
Yes.
Now, it's already shown that any time you stand up to George Bush, he acts just like a bully.
Mm-hmm.
He talks big and he shies away. Then he goes on to somebody who won't stand up to him. That is George Bush, but nobody stands up to George Bush.
See, I think everything you say is absolutely true, Lee. And I go back to the nomination of Samuel Alito to the Supreme Court. That was the worst cave-in I've seen, I think, by the Senate Democrats.
No, I think the worst cave-in I've seen, and the one that's done the most damage, well, up until today, the one that did the most damage was what they did to those poor elderly people, seniors, in the prescription drug bill.
Well, yes, I can't take issue with it.
I mean, that was a big cave-in, but, you know, I can think of another cave-in. What they did to people who are working every day that fall onto some hard times, what they did to them, the bankruptcy bill.
Yeah.
That was unconscionable. And every time they say they're not going to filibuster because they want to save it, what are they saving it for?
Right. Yeah, what's the point?
Bill Frist threatened last week that if George Bush didn't get his way on torture, he was going to filibuster. Why can't the Democrats filibuster? They've only got 2 or 3 days to do it. Why can't they filibuster?
This Congress comes to an end, Lee. That is a great point. This Congress comes to an end on Saturday. It's over.
That's it.
All the Democrats have to do is stand up straight Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's it. That's all.
That's it.
I mean, you could do it. I could do it. Why can't somebody that we're paying $150,000 a year to do that do it?
Well, they want to go along to get along. Well, you know, they've lost I don't know how many elections by that same tactic.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go along to get along. And every time they try to go along, they get stomped in the face, each and every time. I don't understand how anybody in the U.S. Congress, Democratic or Republican, would ever believe anything George Bush said. They may love the president. They may love the institution. But I'll tell you what. I love my children. But if my children had a habit of lying to me every time they open their mouth, I wouldn't believe a thing they said. Not a thing.
No.
The very first time, I will give them the benefit of the doubt. But this president lies about everything. Why would a Democrat in the Congress, why would they ever believe a thing that George Bush said? Anything.
Well, I don't think the Lee, to be God's honest truth with you, I don't think the Republicans do. The Republicans know what they're doing. This is deliberate action by them. They don't believe, about half the time I'm convinced they don't believe anything that he says. They're just going along because it fits their agenda. They're as mean and rotten as he is, in other words.
The Democrats seem to believe him. The Democrats seem to be giving him another chance. The Democrats seem to think that if they pick up the snake this time, they won't get bitten, even though they've gotten bitten 15 times before.
And they're chock full of the poison. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is the very definition of insanity. You are absolutely right, Lee. And you know, like you said, we've lost elections over this business of not fighting back. And see, there's a certain element of the Democratic Party with which I am very, very upset right now that believes if we're just quiet and if we do nothing, these guys will screw up so badly that the American people will just give it to us. We don't have to stand for anything. We don't have to do anything. I think that's wrong. Just flat wrong.
Bill Clinton, my president,
mm-hmm.
although I'm upset with him that he didn't come out sooner, I expected President Bill Clinton, my president, the last legally elected president the United States has ever had,
yep.
I expected him to stand up sooner than he did. But I look on the news, and the only thing that I see about his standing up was that he was angry looking. He looked like he was about to lose it. Well, look at George Bush. He looks like he's about to lose it every other day. Nobody says anything.
Yeah, you can't bring him out to a press conference without him looking like he's going to go across the podium. A very astute observation.
And I'm glad Clinton didn't lose it. Clinton was very, very much in control, much more in control than I would be, than I am right now.
Well, you know, I don't think these well-heeled Tony little reporters understand what genuine anger actually looks like. They're so far out of the atmosphere that you and me breathe, they don't know what mad is.
Well,
they think mad's getting a finger wagged at you.
I'm not going to take up all your time. I just want to say it's time to wake up and get angry. It's time to stomp on the snake.
Yeah.
Recognize the snake for what he is, that he won't change his scales or won't say colors or whatever. He won't change the forked tongue. You have to stomp on the snake.
And he's not going to pull his own fangs.
That's right.
He's going to use them as long as we let him.
I'm sorry. I thought I would never call a talk show, but this is just too much.
Well, I'm glad you felt comfortable enough to do it. I hope you'll call again. I appreciate your passion. I appreciate the fact that you're mad. I would like it if there was a whole bunch more people as mad as you and willing to get madder, because when that day comes, we might start changing things.
Well,
I'm not yelling at you. I hope you understand.
No, I understand. Thank
you, Lee. And again, I hope we'll hear from you. You take care now. Bye now.
Bye.
You know, see, I don't understand that element of our party that says, you know,
He lost his temper. Goodness sakes, mercy me. That just didn't look statesmanlike.
How statesmanlike was Andrew Jackson when he heard the first rumors of secession and said, I will personally get on my horse and I will start riding till I get to South Carolina. When I get to South Carolina, I will grab me the first secessionist I see. I will hang him. I will ride on until I find the next secessionist and I will hang that one too. You know, how calm, how measured is that? There's a time for measured, and there's a time for getting mad as hell. And you know, the Lee's right. There is a contingent of our side. You know, he calls himself a liberal. I have proudly worn the name liberal. Some people call themselves progressives. Whatever you call yourself, if you are not willing to fight for what you believe in and stand up to these punks and these thugs, your ideas aren't sufficient and are not fit to lead. I don't know what Dennis Kucinich said on the floor of the House today in regard to the torture bill. I don't know. But I'm waiting for somebody to stand up, and you know, this is we joke, we have our fun, it's prayer meeting night, it's Wednesday. But I'm waiting for somebody to stand up and smack, I mean smack, the right wing right across its fleshy jowls. Because you know, we're going to see that this isn't over. This was the House debate. This was the House determination. We got another chance. We've got another chance. It's got to go to the Senate. And I want to know, is not torturing other human beings worth finally using the powder that we have kept dry for so very long? The powder that we kept dry in the Alito debate. The powder that we kept dry in the John Roberts debate. The powder that we kept dry instead of opposing a bankruptcy bill that crushes people who are already suffering and already half crushed anyway. Is not torturing other Americans worth finally stopping them? Make that damn Bill Frist go nuclear right before the election. Make him do it! Make him do it. And make Republican senators look into a camera and say, I support this bill. I support this bill because it lets the president define whatever he wants to do to another human being. I support torture. Because, see, if we're not careful, we're going to get this issue framed right out from under us. Because the way I've already heard it discussed, to the little bit that it's been discussed in the media, is that, well, you know, this bill clearly makes torture illegal. And it doesn't read, yes, it does. But this bill makes torture illegal. Yeah, but then it goes on and allows George Bush to define as not torture anything he wants to do. And that means we're going to be revisited with Alberto Gonzalez's definition of torture as being anything that doesn't cause organ failure or death. Agnes, is that video still up at WD40.com? There's a video that our good friends at WD40.com have put together. Go there and look at it. WD40.com, go there and look around. I think they've also posted it at YouTube. Go and have a look. Have a look at the effects of torture. have a long, cold, analytical look at the effects of torture. Okay? This is, you know, this upside-down little world. My God, there's our good friend Peter in Tallahassee telling us that that Fox is going to expand into the production of so-called Christian films. What's the motto going to be? We produce, you're deceived? Is there any one thing that will finally make liberals stand up and stop thinking that their opposition is someone with whom they can compromise, someone with whom they can get along? You can't get along with these people. Because they don't want to get along with you. They would as soon slit your throat as look you in the eye. And they have led Democrats to the slaughter over the Alito nomination, bankruptcy, Medicare, prescription drugs. You know, we went through a list. Lee and I. And every time it's been a matter of, well, you know, this is not the fight we fight. Is torture finally the fight we fight? I'm not going to write letters. I'm going to write emails. I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to wear out the phone. There's another piece of legislation that's going through the Congress right now. 4 days. 4 days is all we've got. It calls for emergency paper ballots to be available in every voting place in the country so that if people want to vote on paper, they can vote on paper, and that it's not going to be a provisional ballot. It has to be a real, live, honest-to-God, count-it-right-then ballot. Bradblog.com has extensive coverage of that issue. Go and read for yourself. Another reason to pick up the phone, another reason to send an email. Stop the torture, save the vote. There's language out there that allows George Bush to determine that someone is an enemy combatant, no matter who that person is on the face of planet Earth, and it's so open-ended that it could eventually be extended to American citizens. And all rights to habeas corpus just disappear. Just like people will. It's time for you to come with us, sir. Ma'am, kiss your children goodbye. We've got to go. Let's go to the phones. Georgia is calling from California. Georgia, welcome to the program. Thank you for calling.
Oh,
I'm sorry. That's David from Maine. No?
No, it's JP from Dawson.
Oh, JP. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry for the confusion.
That's all right. Let's see, what was I going to say? The first thing I was going to start with was if the Republicans were in control of Congress right now and Bush were a Democrat, I mean, he would have been dead meat in 2002.
Yeah, oh, he never would have made it to the, no, you're right.
Think about what they would have done to him if 9/11 had happened when Clinton was president.
Yes.
You know what really makes me angry is the fact that our Democratic leadership will say things like, we're not going to even think about impeaching Bush, if we get put into the majority. You know, Democrats need to give people a reason to vote for them for a change. And believe me, I live in a part of Georgia that's one of the most conservative parts of the country.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. People are even fed up with Bush here.
I'm not at all surprised. You know, I hear that a lot. I hear that, well, the here in West Virginia, JP, I don't see the George Bush stickers on the rusted out cars that I used to see.
Yeah, it's the same way here. I mean, in fact, I'm actually starting to see W stickers with little, those little red lines through them now.
Oh my!
I mean, I'm seeing a lot more of those than I'm seeing of the old W stickers. And this is in a part of Georgia where, you had to be basically like Zell Miller if you wanted a chance to win. Let's see. The other thing I was gonna bring up is Democrats need to start using a filibuster for a change, because I don't know if you you remember the health care debate under Clinton.
Yes, I do. And those commercials with what was their name? The
Harry and Louise.
Yeah, Harry and Louise.
And it was ridiculous. But what was even worse was there were all kinds of compromises out there. Clinton did kind of put himself in a box by saying he wasn't gonna sign the legislation that didn't provide universal coverage. But the thing was, Republicans took advantage of that. They said, okay, we're not going to compromise at all. What we're going to do is we're going to filibuster, and the only thing we'll compromise to is what he basically said he wasn't going to sign. Hang on one second.
Sure. I understand how these things go. that's okay. No, I remember right-wing radio during the healthcare debate, JP.
Yeah.
Do you remember some of that? You're in Georgia. You probably get Neil Bortz, or have heard him somewhere along the way.
Yeah, I even caught his show.
I remember Neil Bortz saying that under the what he called the Hillary socialized medicine healthcare plan, that if you went to a different doctor not approved by the government, that you would go to jail. It didn't exist. It was a lie made up out of whole cloth. Well, but you know, they get away with it, and there's no one to call them on it.
Well, the thing is, Republicans don't even believe in simple things like portability. I mean, Bush's dad was about as liberal as the Republicans got on that issue. But if you look at your typical voting Republican in the House or Senate, they're dead set against portability. They're dead set against people with pre-existing conditions buying health insurance, and that's an issue we can nail. I mean, there is no excuse for the Democrats not losing this year. I've been active in my local party, and I'm actually going to be putting stuff out, a week or two before people in my neighborhood go vote, so they'll know who to be, who their candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Is running for Congress in our district. But that's what we all need to be doing.
Yeah, this is the time when you start doing this is a time for doing the hard work. We should have been doing it all along. And but maybe attitudes are changing, but we've got to also see some good old-fashioned want to out of Democrats in Congress.
Right. And another thing, a filibuster is going to just give people, it's going to show people, hey, these Democrats are willing to stand up for something.
The sad thing is, though, JP, I can predict with almost mathematical certainty that what you'll hear out of a certain wing of the Democratic Party is that, well, you know, we can't filibuster this torture bill because, you know, that would divide the country, and right now we have to focus on taking back power. Well, what's the good in having power in an America that tortures people?
That's exactly right. And, if torture ever happened when the Democrats were in power.
Well, see, that's the thing that's worth remembering. Do you remember the 1996 Federal War Crimes Act?
Not exactly.
Okay, well, it was passed by a Republican Congress in 1996 in the hopes of being able to tag Bill Clinton with it. If he had crossed the line or done anything that could possibly be painted as a war crime, and some would say he did, then it could have been used against him in furtherance of their little witch hunt of him. And see, that's the reason for this legislation going through right now, the Hamdan decision and the Federal War Crimes Act, because it's the Federal War Crimes Act that actually creates the substantive problems that George Bush has right now. So this is going to serve as a modification of that. And when you start realizing that it's federal law that they're talking about breaking, then you're really talking about, honest to God, impeachable offenses. It's nothing squishy like the Geneva Conventions or something, ethereal that right-wingers hate, like international law. We're talking about the open breaking of federal statutes. And that's what has him scared half to death.
Yeah, especially since he's the one who's supposed to be enforcing the law.
Right.
Let's see, there's the other thing I wanted to bring up was just, Democrats need to start thinking for, impeaching someone who breaks the law, but, who collects their taxes. That isn't unpatriotic. Patriotic, dissent is the highest form of patriotism. That's what Thomas Jefferson said.
And I tend to agree with him, yes.
And that's, I think, basic things like that that make a Democrat different from a Republican. And, even people up here in the mountains are turning against this war. It's not because, it's not because they're hippies. It's because, people are only going to be willing to fight so long, so far away in the part of the world that has, brings no benefit to us.
Well, they've got to see some sort of tangible results, and they've got to see a purpose behind it. I talked to a man today at a furniture store whose son is leaving for Iraq in 2 weeks. JP, it almost broke my heart. He looked at me and he said, "I said, well, I certainly you'll be in our thoughts. Your son will be in our thoughts, and we hope he's safe and sound." And he said, "Yeah, but he's going for a good reason. The nerve of those people. They came over here and attacked us on our own soil." So that tells me we still got a bunch of work to do. That guy actually believed that Iraqis attacked the United States on 9/11.
Right. Well, I think one thing the Republicans would have done differently is they would have made sure that the person who was in power, got the blame for not doing his job. After all, I used to hear it over and over again when Clinton was in office. He's the commander-in-chief. He's the commander-in-chief. That was usually what they said when they didn't want him to do anything but just be the commander-in-chief. But now it's like they want the president to be everything but the commander-in-chief. They want him to, basically be their political model for patriots.
Exactly. They want him to be their standard bearer. They want him to, they want him to be their cudgel as well, JP. They want to hit people over the head with George Bush. If you don't follow George Bush, you don't love America. How many Dixie Chicks discs got burned?
Right.
Over a simple comment that, we're unhappy that George Bush was born in Texas.
And it amazes me how many people who still call the Democrats, you're taxing the Democrats. Well, are you willing to pay more? I always ask them, are you willing to pay more taxes if you really support this war in Iraq? And they're like, that's no measurement for my support in Iraq. And I'm like, yes, it is. We all have to give up something in the war.
Whether we realize it or not.
Win it.
Yes. We're giving up things right now, JP, that we have no idea we're giving up. We have given up our national financial security in order to fund this war by hanging bad paper all over China and South and Southeast Asia. And the thing is the Republican Party counts on us not being able to look far enough down the road to the day when those notes come due. I mean, we're talking about the possibility of economic collapse on par with the Depression. Because we don't have the means of producing, we don't have a production machine that we can crank up like we did with the Second World War and salvage the American economy. It simply does not exist now.
Right.
It's scary stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The government spends so much on interest. I mean, that's a tax in itself.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. JP, I really enjoyed talking to you tonight. I hope we'll hear from you again.
Yeah, you will.
All right, you take care now.
Yeah, you too.
Bye now. And let's see, 10 minutes before the hour, and we go back to our good friend David from Maine, who has that final paragraph, I'll bet.
Yes, the final thing. The thing that people should keep in mind with what I was saying before was eventually the subconscious mind starts to come out when you start to get arrogant and you start to talk in your manifesto, and if you have a lot of time to fill. And you don't want the reporter to bring up a more significant damaging point to argument. And this is what happened exactly with leading into what Helen Thomas said. She said, change the subject but not venue. The Washington Post is carrying a series of polls saying that the Iraqi people most affected by our so-called war want us out of Iraq. What is the president's reaction? Not really surprised. I mean, nobody wants to have an occupying army. It's understanding that when you have an army on your soil that you want them out. But on the other hand, the Iraqi government has made it clear, and you've heard statements by Prime Minister Maliki, and now President Talabani as recently as last week saying, don't leave until the job is done. We understand the sentiments of the Iraqi people, and we'd love to be out of there as soon as possible, but you have to have the end state. Well, do they count? Helen says, and then Snow says, of course they count. One of the reasons why their elected officials want us to stay is that they don't want them subjected to tyranny. They want the ability to win the battle and terror on Iraqi soil so the president does understand it. It's also interesting, Helen. On Iraqi soil, we want it on Iraqi soil. Let me just finish the, I'm sorry, what? I said the question of winning. We declared Iraq a central and so forth. We want it there instead, and they want it out. Well, no, we didn't declare Iraq the central front. Bin Laden did. And then she said, yes, we did. And then he says, Bin Laden declared at the central front the war on terror, but we're quibbling here. They want us out. Yes, of course, the Europeans want us out after World War II. We ended. Why did we stay there? And then Tony says, the reason we're staying there is we've made a commitment to providing a government, a democracy. A commitment to whom? To the people of Iraq and to their government, a government that can sustain itself, defend itself, and govern itself. And we are continuing. And then she says, we invaded that country. And then he says, please, 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 we're getting into the heckle zone. The heckle zone. And then, later on, he says, I highlighted this quote. Remember he said we're going to win the war on terror?
Yeah.
We're going to win it. The terrorists will win everything. The ultimate aim in both places is not that we win the wars, but that we allow the countries to have the capability to go ahead and build peace and stability on their own. President Musharraf also made it clear, for instance, in a much-discussed agreement with tribal leaders and some of the other areas, that was interpreted as being a pact with the Taliban. It is anything but.
Well, you know, I remember, David, when Dear Leader was asked specifically, can we win the war on terror? And he said no. He just said no. And so, I mean, this is the steady diet of spin and lies and doublespeak and Orwellianism that flows out of the once great building that is now a cesspool at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It has been demeaned. It has been debased. Its credibility is utterly gone. And frankly, we don't get a shred. We start maybe to get a little bit of it back if we get the Congress back. But we do not get any national credibility back until such time as we have run that little man out of that office. I got to run along. I got one more call I want to hit before the show's over. Thanks, David.
All right.
Later.
Later.
And Deborah, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
I've never done this before, but this was my question to you.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you, you know, I'm being bombarded as one of those people with the, you know, I'm just like a crazy left-wing nut bar, and especially in San Diego. I'm sort of a yellow dog Democrat, and I really stick out here, so I don't have any friends. But
you have friends here.
World can't wait thing. Okay, I have to ask you. I mean, I really want to get involved, and I really want to. But here's the thing. I mean, what if we do, you know, get this evil Duras, even out? Suppose that we do jettison him out of there, if that were even possible.
Mm-hmm.
Is this some freak sideshow? I mean, where they're just going to be, the rest of them are just going to be chuckling with scotch in their hand? I mean, they know perfectly well we can't do anything to unseat this horrible, evil man who doesn't care about anything but pretty maps with all the orange and red areas that, you know, are burning up and we're heating up and we'll, you know, die in, you know, 7 years or something, or 12. And, you know, what's going to happen if we do that? He's created such a maelstrom of hatred and active violence and fury, you know, that I'm not sure.
Deborah, I can.
A bunch of people like me, you know, a bunch of peaceniks down there with signs and stuff are going to be able to do anything.
Deborah, they created an impression, and they did it all the way through the 2004 election, that there was no meaningful opposition to George W. Bush.
Okay? And there is now.
I believe there is.
Yeah. Oh, I am. I'm part of it.
I've been part of it. I've tried to go out wherever I could. The opposition is there, and the fact is, if we don't show up, you know, there's that old saying, and it's an old saying because there's a big element of truth to it. Showing up is half the battle.
Right.
What happens if we get rid of this evil little man? Do we get another evil little man? For my purposes, any contemplation of impeachment of George W. Bush has to go hand in hand with the impeachment of Richard Cheney.
The rest of them.
Well, just Cheney, because
Cheney. Okay.
You get rid of those two, you've gotten rid of that presidency, and then it's bye-bye Condi, bye-bye...
Please, and yeah. Rove, can you tell?
Yeah, sure. They're all gone, you know.
Okay.
But you've got to cut the heads off of this Hydra, and the heads are Cheney and Bush. They've got to be impeached at the same time, because the defense is the same defense.
Mm-hmm.
So you impeach and peaceably remove them from office, at which point the Speaker of the House becomes president. Now, I'm already seeing rumblings from the right where they're going, oh, Jesus, that means President Pelosi. That's what that woman wants. She wants to be president. She doesn't like Hillary. She hates Hillary's guts like the rest of us do. That's the only good thing about her. She wants to be the first woman president. Okay, that's their talking point.
Well, yeah, let them be scared. I don't care. I mean, I just wondered if there were any chance, you know, that, I mean, I see this is going on. I've looked, I'm on the internet all day, every day. And if I, you know, I canceled all my appointments. I mean, I want to do this on the 5th. I'll be there, and all day on the 5th and, in downtown San Diego, such as it is. I call it Sandy Ego.
Yeah.
But, oh, God. What a soulless town. But anyway, I'll be there. And, you know.
Well, I think it's worth your effort, Deborah. I'm convinced it's worth your effort.
Okay. Okay. I just want to see something happen. I really do.
Thing is, if we remain silent, I can guarantee you something will happen, Deborah.
Okay.
And the something that happens may be a mushroom cloud over Tehran.
Yeah. Yeah.
That should put it into perspective. And we're out of time. Thank you so much. I hope we'll hear from you again.
Oh, listen, thank you for letting me speak, and I enjoyed it, and I'll call you or email you or something, and thank you so much for letting me share.
My pleasure.
All righty.
Bye now.
Night.
Wow. I feel like we sprinted to the finish tonight, and we're going to sprint through the credits. Agnes produced, Brian announced, John produced, Peter's IT, Ben Birch is streaming, Shelby LePre is our streaming partner at radiopower.org. We have fabulous moderators. We've got a great news editor named Gene. We have several thousand members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They get up and they go to work every day and they build the American dream. And in doing so, they're saving the American dream, the one we've been talking about all night. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.
Welcome to the Head On Radio Network, featuring the best of Mike Malloy.
In your swallowing wall, life's life.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good evening, True Seekers, Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. I have to tell you, we are experiencing some really bad thunderstorms and hail and all sorts of high winds and nasty stuff here in the Metro Atlanta area. So if you hear a crackle and a pop and we're gone, our engineering cohorts in Detroit will immediately put on a rebroadcast, probably of last night's program. Just wanted to let you know. All right? Program today produced, or tonight produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us, as always. The phone number here is 800-825-5937, 800-TALK-YES. Or you can email MikeDMalloy at earthlink.net. Quote of the day from Aldous Huxley. Dictators can always consolidate their tyranny by an appeal to patriotism.
Dictators can always consolidate their tyranny.